B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show, Thursday. And I'm wearing the hat. Yeah, said we'll wear the hat. They want it, and they want going away. The Flyers are good, man. The Flyers are a good squad. If you watched the game last night, you heard that Pierre Maguire in his little glass booth going, I don't know why people aren't talking about the Flyers. They're really good. And they're really good. And they were improved last night. Now, I don't think it's the same Penguins team that it used to be, but that's irrelevant. You know, they hung in there, and then they wore them down and used their superiority later in the game to cement the game and really turn it into a rout. So a really good start for the Flyers, and they look real sharp, especially on the power play, where, you know, that was a problem for them last year. I look at the Flyers. Listen, the only thing I would like to see maybe is a little more offensive punch on line one, but other than that, I can't complain about anything they did last night. So it's going to be a good season, and hence I pay tribute with the favorite hat in my collection right here. It's the raised Flyer logo. So we'll certainly talk about that with Flyer fans all day. And now it's the aftermath of your Philadelphia 76ers, which is a topic that we're going to get into probably very deeply today, since everything is now settled and we have to take inventory as to what the landscape is in the NBA and where the Sixers fit in. If you look at the odds today, I'm just doing this as a precursor, right? If you look at the odds, it has the Sixers in a comfortable third spot in the East, behind the Nets and the Bucks. That means they're ahead of the Heat. They're ahead of the Pacers. They're ahead of the Raptors. So they're in that spot. And if they're in that spot, could they actually make a dent in the superiority of those two teams that are ahead of them? That is the topic that we will discuss today. And so I have boiled it down to this. Number one, can they win in their current form without James Harden on the team? Two, will a scared Ben Simmons, and I say scared in the context of the word is out that he really didn't want to be traded to Houston and almost begged not to be traded to Houston, and that reminded me of AI, where they made it clear to AI, hey, Larry, why don't you go on Billy King's in there, you're going to trade you if you don't conform, and he got scared stiff, and he started to conform a little bit. Could that have the effect on Ben Simmons to open up his game where we need it to be? Number three, do they have to make another deal that would bring them closer? In other words, would they have to now focus on a Bradley Beal acquisition? Would they have to focus on a Zach LaVine and dangle Ben anyway? And of course, four, will you be able to come to grips with the fact and will you welcome it that they're just not going to do it this year, but you can watch them develop because they're off to a pretty good start with all these young players. So they're the four things that I look at, and we'll get into the teeth of that very shortly. But right now, it is time, Tyrone, for...
Hello. 97.5 The Fanatics, yeah. FU Money. $500 right now.
That's actually the first time I did that smoothly all week. 4 days in.
That's great.
4 days in. It's time for 97.5 The Fanatics FU Money. Your chance to win $500 from us for you, Fanatic users. Just text the word cash, CASH, to 45911, or enter it on the 97.5 The Fanatic app or at 97.5thefanatic.com. That's the word cash, C-A-S-H. One winner selected at random will win $500. Everyone that enters on the app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Get complete rules for this company-wide contest at 975thefanatic.com. It's all being presented by Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Is your furnace useless? Get it? F and U. Get 0% financing for 6 years on an HVAC system from Adam Mechanical. Good luck. Text the word cash. All right. So to get back to what I was trying to sink my teeth into here, it's a really good question because people have the idea that they still can win with this team. I don't think they can. I don't think that with this current roster that they can bite into where Milwaukee is right now and where the Nets are. And I know there are a lot of people say, well, James Harden's going to ruin that team. There's not enough basketballs in it. Let me explain something to you. When you got talent and you're trying to guard talent, you can't guard them. If everybody's talented and you have to double guys, then there's always another guy that's going to score. So, I, you know, talk about all you want about cancer. Talk about Kyrie being a nutbag. Talk about Harden being a cancer, going to strip, whatever it is. If it comes to basketball and you're judging talent, the Sixers can't bite into that. And nor can they, in my opinion, bite into the Milwaukee Bucks. But there's always a possibility of change to bite into it. And the change is, Ben changes. Assumes his responsibility, which I don't have a lot of faith in. Or they actually go out and make another deal for a player that gets them closer. Not a Harden, because it's not a Harden out there. But another player that gets them a little closer. So let me throw it to Tyrone, who you will see on Sixers Outsiders tonight. Ty, how you feeling about the aftermath? No Harden, and now you proceed with what you have.
Yeah, I've been clear. The Sixers are a good basketball team. The Sixers, I think, will be a fun basketball team once they get everybody back. And they are a solid playoff team. And I thought that their ceiling before was the 3 seed. And looking at the current odds, that appears to be what Vegas thinks is going to happen, the 3 seed. And that's a nice season. But to answer your question of can they win as is, no. They cannot win as is. And to some people, hey, if you want to, some people have this thing, I want to win with my guys and I want to happen. So if that's your case, by all means, enjoy it. And I'm going to watch this team and enjoy when they win, because a 3 seed is nothing to sneeze at, but they cannot win. I do not see a path in which they could beat the Nets or the Bucks in a playoff series. More the Nets, believe it or not, because we have been doing it in this city during this whole process, grossly underrated James Harden. James Harden is a great basketball player. Yeah. Now, he might be a terrible guy. If all those rumors are true, what I'm saying is I don't know if the league, I thought the same thing with Harden and Embiid. The league is not built to guard Harden and Durant. I don't think there's a way to do it. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. Simmons can only guard one of them. You're asking too much of guys. I don't think they can win. Yeah. As is. Now, you brought up the Ben Simmons thing.
Yes, let's talk about this, because you have a lot more faith than I do when it comes to Ben.
Yes.
As far as the learning how to do what he needs to do.
Yes, I do. But if this doesn't get him to try these things, I'm not even at the succeed point. For the Sixers to win, he would have to try different things and succeed at it. I'm not even at the succeed yet. He has to try different stuff. If he doesn't start doing it, I mean, immediately.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about the AI principle that I threw out there? That he was scared stiff.
And he won the MVP after that.
Right.
That year.
So now Ben is scared stiff. He that's the new dawn that he sees.
I think it could happen, but I think there's another factor into it. I want to be here. He also has to recognize that right now, this minute, the best player on the team is not Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has to recognize that as of January 14th, 2021, the best player on the team is Joel Embiid. And therefore, he then has to adjust his mindset and think, what can I do to help make that guy better? I don't think Ben's ever thought like that for a single second in his life. And that's the difference with AI. AI was still the guy. Right this minute, maybe he can pass him, but right this minute, Embiid is the guy. And I don't know if, and he has to also record, why do I have to shoot that corner three? One, to stay in the city. The other thing, that helps the best player on the team.
Here's what I'll say. I can't blame the Sixers for not making the deal, because it was just outrageous deal that they probably could never top, right? So I can't blame them for not making the deal. However, I can't like put myself into a fake optimism, and I'm frankly down because of the realities that are in front of me. And the realities are this. Ben is not going to change. And the reality is they're not good enough to take a bite out of the top two teams that are probably going to fight for this conference. So that puts me in a position where, what? I got to just sit back and acknowledge what the Sixers are and hope that something strange can happen to the point where they win the conference. And I'm a reality guy more than I am a dreamer.
What you would need is injury luck. Mm-hmm. Like the Raptors got some injury luck. They got a lot of injury luck. You would need injury luck. You need some things. The good thing about being the three seed is you're right there if you get some luck.
Mm-hmm.
But as is, I don't think it's realistic that they could win it unless Embiid goes to an even higher plateau, which I don't know if you can go from where he was last year to where he is now to an even higher plateau in 1 year. That seems almost unfair to ask. Or if Ben Simmons, though, but the Ben Simmons stuff is so simple. It may be impossible, but it's so simple. If he just starts to play a nominally normal NBA game, I don't know what that could possibly do for the team.
You see, what I'm doing here, I'm protecting myself.
Right.
And the protection of myself says, well, I'm not going to expect that he's going to do something different. And therefore, then it doesn't get me frustrated every night.
Right.
So that's it's self-protection. And I think a lot of people do the same thing. So we'll talk about it. We'll sink our teeth into these issues today. And the Flyers, man, what a great debut for the Flyers at home. On the peak of a power play a couple times early in the game. They got a puck off a butt. They got a puck off a head. That's what you got to do in hockey.
They scored quick, too. To go from 4-3, they got that next goal quick. Like, boom, boom. They're a lot of fun to watch. I got to admit.
They were a lot of fun to watch. Who else is a lot of fun to watch still? Sidney Crosby. I hate to say, that dude was all over the ice, man.
It's unbelievable how really good he still is. The little mistake that he makes, and then he knocks it out of the air.
Yeah, and that coordination takes to do that, spin around and control it. You know, I know people don't want to hear it, but damn, dude. All right, here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show's on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty. It's time to start our Twitter poll for today. Mike Missinelli Show's 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin, by the way. Attention, HVAC contractors out there for equipment, parts, supplies, every heating and cooling job, just visit one of Ferguson's car locations. Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Ben Salkin, or Westchester. Do that today. And let's go with the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Winter is here, and Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is your stop for snowblowers, chainsaws, and generators all season long. Stop by their Doylestown location today or order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie?
Alrighty, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early. Will almost being traded change the way Ben Simmons plays for the better? 24% say yes. More shooting ahead. 76% say no. He is who he is.
Alrighty. And we'll see where that poll goes all day. I'm amused. I'm coming back from break. I'm amused because what I do is I look at emails during the break, and some amuse me. And this guy Ryan emails me a lot, and he's a frequent caller. And this is like what I call the classic Philadelphia misjudgment, right? And it's Sidney Crosby comment. Ryan writes, "I never found Crosby that impressive." Okay. Great player for sure, but doesn't do anything Lemieux and Gretzky couldn't do. What? So you're telling me that he's only Lemieux and Gretzky are better, but he's not that impressive. Basically, is what that says. It's a classic Philadelphia I hate Crosby judgment.
That's ridiculous. Like, if you want to say you like certain players better, fine.
Is Gretzky Lemieux better? Yeah, I would think.
Well, yeah, they're better.
But if he's in the top five, does that not make him a great player?
Well, yeah, you could put a Vesken ahead of him if you so choose.
All right, top five, six, seven, whatever. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Of course he is. I never found Crosby that impressive.
And he's won. He also has won cups.
Come on, man.
He's done both.
There's always the argument that he was a little bit of an embellisher, but that could also be the Philadelphia lens.
Well, of course he is.
He's a swan diver.
Yeah. He is a swan diver, but that doesn't mean he's not great.
I agree.
He is a swan diver.
He's hated by most franchises, especially Flyers, because he kicks your butt. It reminds me of the days, like way back in the day when I was blowing the LeBron James horn. And people go, he's not that great, Mike. Because it was like a judgment that they didn't like the guy. So they reasoned somehow that his skill level was down. And it's the same with Harden right now. It's he's a cancer.
Right. It's not logical. It's not based on anything statistically or actually on performance.
It's great.
Yeah, he's approaching 500 goals, too.
Yeah, and he's not slowing down anytime soon.
He's an all-time great player.
Yeah,
he might not be Gretzky or Lemieux, but not many people are Gretzky or Lemieux, right? So,
and you don't have to like him.
Come on,
because I do find him annoying at times.
I can't stand his face.
Yeah, but he's great. He's a hate the face, but he's great. He's great.
He absolutely is.
He's a hate the face. Like, I don't, even if he was here, I would love to have him on the Flyers. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd ever fully embrace the face because he's a hate the face. And there's been Philly hate the faces where they're good players, but I just don't like them. I think Utley was a hate the face for me in hindsight.
Yeah, well, he wasn't a hate the face for anybody else.
Not me. Certainly not you.
I didn't hate the face. I just thought that it was the oddest man I'd ever come across. But
right.
That's different than hate the face. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe in New Jersey, start things off. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing? Long-time listener.
Thanks, buddy.
I just want to touch on the Sixers' future. I couldn't agree with you guys more that they really don't have any chance to beat these top teams in the East.
Okay, so how's it make you feel?
That makes me feel sick because I watch this team every single night, and I have for my 24 years on this earth, and I've never seen a basketball player that plays the way Ben Simmons does when he is probably the most athletic player on the floor at all times, and he just decides to have no killer instinct, and he does not want to get to the rim. He shows me nothing.
So it sounds like you're very disappointed that they didn't acquire Harden.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so now how are you going to treat the rest of the season? Are you going to hope that they can do it? Are you going to think that they can't do it unless they make a significant trade? Like, how are you approaching the rest of the season?
I mean, I'm obviously going to watch and root for them, and they're probably going to achieve the free seed. I mean, they have the talent. They finally surrounded them with shooters, but when it comes down to it, playoff basketball, teams are playing harder defense, and you see teams like the Celtics and the Heat. All you have to do is sag off of Ben, and you clog the paint, and that's why Embiid gets shut down against the team.
Here's what I'll tell you. I don't think it's impossible that they could win the East. I don't think it's very likely. So if you can rely on hope for a season, that's not bad. If they're in a position of hope, then that's not bad. It's not devastating. You know?
I mean, you're always going to hold out that hope that your team's going
to
win it. But
yeah, that's all you got. So you got to cling to it. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Like instead of talking you down off you're going to fall off a ledge here with them, at least rely on hope. You sound like you're really down on the prospect.
I mean, I grew up watching Allen Iverson, and that's the point guard I'm accustomed to. I want a guy who has the ball in his hands for 90% of the game.
Yeah, they weren't winning.
I mean, they made a final.
Yeah, they made a final. That was the max that they could ever do, and that was just like one special circumstance year.
This Sixers team hasn't won two playoff series. I mean, they had Jimmy Butler for that run, but that was Jimmy Butler's team. I don't think anyone can argue that.
Okay, I got you, man. My man, the first call, the way down.
Yeah, that's an overreaction.
It is an overreaction. Listen, reality sometimes is like reality. You have to accept it and not let it get you overly down. It's not impossible that they can win the East. Not impossible, but you're right. Something significant has to happen, whether it's an injury factor to another team or whether it's they enhance their own team. And they're certainly capable of enhancing.
Right, and Morey's clearly shown that he's willing to make moves. The question now is, and the question now is, what is that move? And I think you have time. The deadline's not till March this year. You have time to see the what else this roster needs. So all is not lost. I'm just saying, as is, I don't think they can win the East or a championship, as is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But things can happen, and Simmons still has control. Because unlike Carson Wentz, for example, he's not benched.
Yeah.
Like, he's still going to start tonight. He's going to have a couple guys back, it looks like. Tobias is going to be back. Mm-hmm. Shake Mill, he's going to have some guys back. He can come out there and he can change it. If he changes, but he has ultimate control still. And he doesn't have a moron as a coach like Doug. He's got a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, he does.
So everything's there in front of him to make some changes.
It's always possible that some magical mystery tour could happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
It's possible. The Sixers, in a lot of ways, were a magical mystery tour when they went to the finals. They found a perfect niche, and Larry Brown coached through it.
Right.
So, you know, nobody really looked at that, so that team's going to go to the finals.
Although, 44-14, well, you were saying it.
Well, I was, because they had my man in there.
When Theo was still here.
That's right.
And they still.
And then my hopes were dashed, even though they went to the finals.
Right, because they couldn't win it.
No.
And they would have had an easier path, which was all, they were beat up when they got to the finals. Uh-huh. They wouldn't have had all those game sevens with Theo. They win easier, and now they're fresh for the Lakers. But, oh well.
Yeah, let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. I had wanted to talk about the Flyers win, but after listening to your open, I thought this might be a perfect opportunity for Doc to put some pressure on Ben, dial up some plays where he has got a shot from the corner and that's his role. And, you know, maybe the threat of trade, will get him to understand that he's not untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, we brought that up early. It's the AI, I'm scared, I don't want to leave Philly thing. He seemed to react that he did not want to be traded to Houston. He wanted to stay here. So it's like, see, here's the thing. I don't want to hear any more of this tender, loving concern for his feelings, right. The enablement that they've done. You know, here's the deal. Yes, we tried to trade you, and we tried to trade you mainly because you refused to accept the responsibility of a true superstar. And, right. And that's a message that has to get through. So, and whether he accepts that message is another story.
Well, I mean, if he really doesn't want to be traded, he'd be foolish not to. I mean, particularly because he has the shot in practice, from what I understand. I think Doc needs to force the issue more now that Ben might be paying more attention.
Yeah, well, I think drastic measures are in order here. But you know what they're going to do. They're going to backpedal. Here's the thing. They've enabled the dude that they're going to backpedal. No. We really didn't want to trade Ben. That's what they're going to throw out there publicly. Just to appease the kid.
I hope they don't do that. I mean, I think all of us.
Yeah, I think they're going to do that.
All of us recognize that's the fly in the ointment is he doesn't shoot. So I don't think the fan base would react negatively. They don't have to.
No, they wouldn't. But the administrations are protective of their guys. They don't want to force a fire where they don't have to.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, hopefully Doc will do it. I think he needs to get a fire lit.
Only thing Doc could do right now is say, all right, listen, man, I got to take PT away from you. If we have to lose because of it, we got to lose. I said that last year when he took the job. He doesn't seem willing to be that type of guy. So, because he's gone the other way.
That doesn't come from Doc. That's coming from above Doc. None of they're not willing in a season like this with no fans to lose games because that hurts revenue, that hurts ratings. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to punt on losing. They don't want to lose. They just tried to trade him for a reason, but they're not going to lose. That would be out of hand suggestion.
Okay. Well, I don't know what more he could do other than take playing time away from him.
Well, I think threat to trade him. Like, all right, we'll trade you to somebody else.
Right, yeah, but they didn't trade him. And so if he doesn't get the message after this, then what do you do?
then you actually trade him. Then that's it. Like, because they were going to trade him. If Houston says yes, he's traded yesterday.
There are maybe two guys now that you would trade him for that are going to semi-improve your squad. One's Beal, and I get LaVine, I don't think, does it enough.
I wouldn't trade him for Beal. I would trade him for LaVine. I would trade him for Beal.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. So we're talking about a Beal, a Booker. That's not going to, you know, maybe Beal can happen. Booker's not going to happen.
No.
So you're talking about the possibility of one trade now that could
That's during the season. I still think they can be the three seed with him as is. And then at the end of the season, you do it. I just don't know what would be gained by losing games on purpose.
Here's the thing. Either you trade him for a player that's going to move you towards your goal, or he has to change to be the superstar player to move closer to your goal. How do you make him change? If this isn't going to do it, what else is going to do it other than you take playing time away from him?
But then
at that point, that's a desperate situation.
That also crushes the trade value.
Okay. Well, then get to live with it. Then you live with not going to win.
No.
That's what you have to live with.
No, you only live with not winning this year. Do you trade him in the offseason?
Well, I can't live with not winning this year anymore. What am I going to do? I have to sit out this season too?
No, you're going to be the three
snow sled.
You're going to be the three seed this year. You're going to win playoff series. You're not going to win the title, no. And then at the end of the year, you trade him. But if you lose on purpose, then you're out in the first round.
Hey, but I don't have a year to win. No, lose on purpose is only to get him to conform so you can win in the playoffs.
Right, but no. But then your matchup, your seeding plays a role in that. Who you play, if you're playing the Bucks or the Nets earlier because you lost games on purpose to send a message.
Can you lose? Can you win still games with benching him? Yeah, you can still win games.
No.
I'm not talking about benching him for an entire game. I'm talking about cutting his playing time down to send a message.
Right. You will lose those games. They're not good enough to work around with that. He's still too good on defense and distributing. You will lose. So you're choosing to lose games.
You're asking me to forget about this year.
No.
Okay, the 3C's good enough. I'll have to worry about next year. I can't be in a position that.
But you do know by punting on losses, you're no longer the 3C. The 5C.
Now you definitely lose to
the Nets.
That could be a byproduct. But the bigger picture is I got to get this guy to play like a superstar. I'm at my wit's end.
I don't think if getting traded almost, basically he was traded. You have to be clear. Mm-hmm. If the Rockets said yes, Simmons would be gone right now. If that doesn't get it, well, being benched without fans, that's not going to get it either.
All right. Well, then I throw up my hands. Bob in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, first off, Mark, the way you talk about politics the last month or so has been great. Very level-headed. I'm like you. I'm just amazed at what's going on in the country.
Yeah, that's not what a lot of people that I hear from think. And I will have a little political thing to say that involves one Kurt Schilling a little later in this show.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a person that drives me crazy because I love him as a player. And now he's like unhinged.
I believe the Phillies need to take a stand, and I'll explain specifically what I mean a little later in the show.
Great. I think the Nets are going to have a lot of trouble. I think they have two players who have the potential to implode. Kyrie Irving's not playing. And supposedly, the other guy's 20 pounds overweight. And they're not complementary to one another. They're all going to need the ball.
You can make all these little assertions to downgrade what the Nets are right now, and you would be incorrect.
Okay.
Because when you have three guys like that, they make shots, you can't possibly defend that team.
You're right. But what if
so forget about his 20 pounds overweight, because he can lose that. And forget about needing enough balls, because the Golden State Warriors showed you they can do it. If you have talent, you win.
The difference between Golden State and this team is Golden State knew how to play as a team. Mm-hmm. They weren't interested.
So how do you know that the Nets won't know how to play as a team? They haven't even had a game yet with these three.
Because these three guys, the two guys, had never shown the ability to mix with other players.
Hey, Bob. KD mixed with other players. Would it hard not win a game in Houston? When they mixed him with other superstars, did he not win a game? Did I mistake something?
They didn't win games.
They weren't a championship contender.
But they didn't win. Golden State won.
Because they weren't good. They weren't good enough. They weren't as good as Golden State. But you defeat, like, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that the Nets have made themselves worse by doing this.
I didn't say they made themselves worse. I said it's problems that they could have.
You keep believing it. You can knock yourself out. If that's what you want to believe to make you feel better about the Sixers not being as good as the Nets, tu salud. Bottom line is, you got three players that can make shots like that. You can't guard them. You're on your heels the whole game when you play a team like that. This is so overrated. Like they said the same thing about the Heat. Well, you know, those guys can't play together. Yeah. At the end of the day, the talent, like whatever restricted the Heat, the talent at the end of the day still made them the contender.
Yeah, Wade and LeBron never actually fit together. But they out-talented people. They never fit. They both wanted the same spots, but they were so much more talented than the other teams. They won anyway, and that's what happens when you get a bunch of good players and a good coach.
Talent plays with talent. Do you watch All-Star games on how guys facilitate each other because they respect each other's talent?
Right.
It happens all the time. Like, you go the team you play with at the Y. If you have the most talent, you win. It's the bottom line.
We like to think it's like the movies. Because the underdog team always wins because they're together.
Yeah.
That's
not the movies.
That's not how it works in real life.
Not the NBA, which is now a three-point shooting league, where you spread the floor and have those guys, dynamic snipers, all three of them, that you can't guard. What's going to have to happen? What, are they going to have to all come out and shoot 20% for them to lose?
It may not be three of them, though.
Well, if they move Kyrie.
No. I think Kyrie, I don't think they're going to be able to move. It may just be two of them. I think that they win the whole thing. Well, they win the East. I don't know if they beat the Lakers with two of them. Kyrie may be gone. Like, just off the reserve, like not playing basketball. But even with just the two of them, I still think they're the best team.
Listen, here's the bottom line. They didn't make the trade. I can't blame them for making the trade. They would have been more of a contender with James Harden. Now they're no way in the same category as the Nets and Bucks. I hate to bring the reality to you, and you can think of any fiction you want about, well, there's not enough balls in Jersey. Oh, Harden's going to go to the strip club. Oh, Harden is eating too many mashed potatoes. They're cancers. Come on, man. The reality is it's talent in the NBA that wins. Let's go to Uriah in Marsville. Uriah, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Uriah.
Hey, Mike, happy new year. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
What's up, Uriah? How you making out?
Hey, I'm just trying to survive in this crazy world, brother. Man.
I got you.
And what you were saying about Schilling, I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, it's
later,
it's based on a story that I read today in today's Inquirer by Bob Brookover. And I'll get into the specifics of it, but I believe the Phillies have a responsibility.
Yeah, it's just disappointing to hear him off the reservation like that.
I put a tweet out really there. I will call them out publicly on this radio station.
All right, so let's get to Simmons, Mike. Mm-hmm. So I saw what you tweeted put on Twitter, where Simmons builds up this big full head of steam and he drives the lane and he stops dead in the middle of the tape.
Yeah.
And it's that shooting. Everyone just freezes and the defense backs off. And in that play, if you look at it, he wasted 6 seconds of the shot clock. What is wrong with Ben Simmons, Mike? What is going on in his head? Do you really think he could change at this point?
No.
Do you think he's going to change?
No. No, I don't. That's why I've had to change my mindset. That, like, thinking he's going to change has caused me to get older. It has. It has caused me to have a sour stomach.
I think going back to college, Mike, his priorities were in the wrong place. Because when he was at LSU, he's more concerned with creating a documentary about himself
That's part of the whole raising of Ben Simmons that has put him in this situation where he seems to be in a glass bubble.
You know what he is, Mike? He is the star running back who refuses to block for the quarterback. You look at the running back position, they want to run and catch balls out of the backfield. Nobody really wants to stay back there.
But here's the thing. I don't agree with that because I think he thinks he is blocking for the quarterback. That's the difference.
No.
Yes, that's the difference in the mindset. He actually thinks he's blocking for the quarterback. Well, and that's worse. That's worse because if you think that you're satisfying all the requirements for you to be a star player, and you're not. How do you break through that? It's like a brick wall.
Well, if he doesn't change, we're not going anywhere. I agree with you, Mike. I don't think they can win the East, especially with Brooklyn now with those three pieces up there.
Yeah.
But if we can get Beal to the line, let's get him to Philly. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, Beal wants out too. He can force his way out somehow. I don't know. All right, Ben. This is what's reading this story today in The Athletic, and it says. And they addressed the question we brought up. How does Simmons personally react to the knowledge that the Sixers' new lead executive was willing to trade him? Does that affect his play at all? And then they go into what J.J. Redick once said about Ben on his podcast, where he said Simmons, quote, sits behind a glass wall and looks at everyone else on the other side. Now, if you're behind the glass wall, how do you even acknowledge what people are saying? Because people have tried to say it for 2 years, and he's still in a glass wall. So what changes, like, what magic spell changes that dynamic?
Yeah, that's a good point. I know we're up against the break. That's, Redick has talked a lot about his, way too much, actually, about his Sixers experience on that podcast, but his relationship with Embiid and his relationship with Simmons were very different.
Yeah.
We can get into it more. It was just, he doesn't have a lot of bad things to say about Simmons, but it was just a very different relationship when he spoke to Embiid versus when he spoke to Simmons.
It's the frustration of not being able to get through to somebody with something fundamental. That's what J.J. Redick is saying.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Back after this. Quick break.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 2:46. Hembo's coming up at 3 o'clock. Touch base with Hembo. He's got some information for this weekend's games as we get to a higher level in the NFL, and also he'll have some thoughts and some statistics and analytical review on the quarterback situation for the Philadelphia Eagles and the coaching situation and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to. This Ryan has gone back with me before. He's trying to pollute Crosby and his legacy, right? So, I'm just go by my instinct here. These are the players that he says are better than Crosby.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, Gretzky,
yes.
Lemieux, yes. Or,
yeah,
great. But a defenseman and different value.
There's a lot of hockey people who have Orr ahead of Gretzky,
yeah,
too.
He dominated the game, but he was also a defender. You're just ranking forwards. All right, so I'll throw Orr in there as an all-time great. Messier, yes.
Yes.
Ovechkin?
Yes.
All
I
right.
I think so.
LaFleur?
My first
instinct goes, no, LaFleur is great scorer, not a two-way player at all. He's got Ray Bourque in there. Ray Bourque doesn't belong in there. No. He's a defenseman, and he doesn't belong in there. And let's see. Sakic? Nope.
Nope.
Jágr?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, Jágr.
My instincts say no.
Yeah, Jágr. Lot more scoring, just as much winning.
Okay, let me look at this. Let me look at a rank. All right, here's this. Ranking the top 10 NHL hockey players of all time. That was just the first one I picked out on Google.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see what they have. So they have... Now these are... So if you eliminate the old-timers, because they have old-timers in there you have to consider, right? So they have Bobby Hull in the top 10.
Yep, he should be. He's got how many goals?
But it's harder to evaluate older school guys. But Bobby Hull...
Yeah, nice. He's recent.
Not Bobby Hall. Brett was recent.
Bobby's
his father.
Yeah, but Bobby Hall, we know, is
Bobby
all
Hall,
time, all
like,
time.
Invented the slap shot, but
yeah, we
he
know
played
all
in
time.
An era where they had flat sticks.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know. Like, you know. All right. Jean Beliveau, another flat stick era guy, an all-time hard. Montreal great. There's no way to evaluate him, right? Maurice the Rocket Richard. Right?
Harder.
So, like, if you take these guys out, my point is, you take these guys out.
Well, which modern guys do they have?
That's what I was wondering.
This list has Crosby 10th.
Okay.
So this list has Gretzky, mm-hmm. Gordie Howe.
Which certain guys transcend that you have to put them anywhere.
These are the old-time. Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux.
Yeah.
Maurice Richard, Jean Beliveau. Mark Messier,
mm-hmm.
Guy Lafleur, and Bobby Hall and Crosby 10th. So take all the old timers out. Where's Crosby? Zooms up the list. But there's no Jágr on this list.
Yeah, Jágr gets
there's no Sakic on this list.
Well, no, I don't think he was. I don't think he's better than Sakic.
Okay.
He's better than Sakic. I think the caller, the emailer is a hater.
He's a hater.
Yeah, just a hater.
Yeah, he's definitely a hater. All right, let's go Phil in the Northeast. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Phil?
Well, number one, you and Tyrone are doing a great job. Because number one, yes, you should give up on the Ben Simmons offensive threat powerhouse dream. Ben's never going to be bullied, so he's never going to be pressured or benched or talked too bad. In order for him to, you know, rise to a certain occasion, just not going to happen. So you might as well give up on that dream there. Number two, that just means that we need to make a move. So yesterday everybody was saying, don't move Maxey. I think we've been so starved in the city for a penetrating guard who scores that the first one we get, we just go crazy over. And I don't get it. He could be Jeff Teague. He could be De'Aaron Fox. Doesn't matter. It's 9 games, 10 games. Gotta relax on that.
Yeah, no, listen, Tyrese Maxey has a long way to go. He's a nice player. I think he's a really nice player. Can he be the guy that takes him over the top? No, I don't think so.
Nah, but they were talking like he's untouchable, and you can't call anybody untouchable after 10 games.
No, listen, if it took Maxey to get Harden, I would have made the move. Now, the reports are that they didn't want to part with Maxey, and I wouldn't want to part for him. But if somebody had the gun in my head and said, okay, well, then if you don't give me that, if you don't give me Thibault, Maxey, and Ben,
right.
and there were more picks involved, so that was more prohibitive, and I'm going to trade him to the Nets, I probably would have made the trade.
Right.
But I can't blame them either.
Right, and then Ty's saying as far as this year is concerned, it's over. Like, not over, but just don't get too excited. I 100% agree. We still don't have a perimeter threat that can get his own shot off the dribble consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that, and if your best scorer is your big man, you're not going to the finals, period. It's just not how this NBA works nowadays.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I'm a big shot off the dribble guy as well, and they have one guy that can kind of do that in Tobias.
Yeah, and you can't count on him.
Yeah.
You can't count on Seth either. So as long as those two things are true, We're going to be where we are. And then as far as trading Ben for Levine, it'll have to be Levine and somebody else because the salary's got to match up. So we'll get two guys back. But Levine and whoever else and Embiid don't move the needle as much this year given everything that's going on. So.
Yeah, listen, the Levine is nice conversation. Levine doesn't bite you into the top two in this league.
Yeah, I love Levine with Simmons and Embiid, but I don't know how they can even get that done. So.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
That's all
about. All right, Phil, thank you for the call. All right, let's roll into the 3 o'clock hour. Hembo with some Hembo stats coming up. 610-632-0975. One line is open. You can grab it. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 3 o'clock. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic at 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corp Lease Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. Hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, so we got some NFL action this weekend as the playoffs get to another level with the Rams Packers on Saturday, also Ravens Bills the night game, and then on Sunday Browns Chiefs and Buccaneers Saints. But there's also some Eagle issues to bat around, and we'll do that with our next guest, Paul Hebekides, the great Hembo. You see him on Get Up. He is really the orchestrator of that whole show. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward. Hello, Hembo.
Mikey Miss, there is an awful lot that has happened in the world of sports since you and I spoke this time last week.
That is correct. So let's deal with the Eagle action first, all right? Mm-hmm. The coach, all of a sudden, on the hot seat, a day later, bang, he is fired, and now they are in a search. And then there was a ridiculous press conference by the owner of the team. I just let you sort out everything.
Okay, so my big picture takeaways would be this. The day after Doug Peterson inexplicably benched Jalen Hurts in the second half of that game against Washington, I texted you that a coach only does that if he knows he's not getting fired or wants to be fired. Well, as it turns out, it was B, because it seems to me at least that this feels more like a divorce than it does anything else. This is, you know, the mom wants kids, the dad doesn't, and you just have to go your separate ways, because Jeffrey Lurie made it pretty clear in that press conference that he mangled, that the next 3, 4, 5 years are his priority, and I would imagine that he has the ear of Howie Roseman in making that, right? Doug Peterson, on the other hand, is a coach. He cares about 2021, and if he's not sort of invested in the long-term buy-in of that program, then this seems as good a time as any to get rid of the guy. And even though I am on record as saying that Carson Wentz was the biggest problem in 2020, look, I mean, the Eagles are the most disappointing team in the league this year. They played in the worst division in the history of the NFL, were the first team eliminated from it, and Doug Peterson was the only coach that returned from last season. So it's very difficult for me to sit here and argue in favor of Doug Peterson staying. I think ultimately they got this thing right.
I think they did too, but I disagree with you on the methodology, because that game that he threw, I think, was a direction from above. And the fact that proves to me that he did everything they wanted, and finally he grew a set and went in there and said, no, this is my idea, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't good enough for what they have. Oh, you don't want to play ball anymore? Now you're gone. That's what I think happened.
That very well might be right. And it seems clear based on all the reporting after the fact that Doug was sort of fed up with this, right? Like he was wearing the season on his face throughout the season. And it seems like there's an awful lot of clutter sort of coming down from on high and making, you know, its way onto the football field. And no coach, especially one who had won a Super Bowl recently, would be comfortable with that. It's hard to blame it for it.
Yeah, see, I'm interested in your take, though, because you go, yeah, they clearly want to rebuild, and part of that rebuild would have been like Jeffrey Lurie losing that last game to get a better draft pick. You don't see that?
Look, I don't know that we will ever know exactly why that happened that way. It's hard to know whether or not we should take anything that they say at face value. We probably shouldn't. There's a really good chance that Howie and Jeff had a conversation and said, we need to lose this game if at all possible. And Doug Peterson was sort of made the scapegoat for it. You definitely might be right about that. But up to that point, we had been led to believe very clearly that he was likely to return. So maybe they sort of, you know, let him out to the slaughter. And, you know, you being close to that situation, you could definitely be right about it. That's just not how I see it.
All right, let's look now at the quarterback situation, because it changed the dynamic there also. There are a lot of people that said there's no way that Carson came back with Doug, that the relationship was fractured. So now he goes, and now you know Carson, unless he lights it up, is going to be known as the coach killer if they try to bring him back. Where do you see that quarterback situation going?
Yeah, that's right. And talking to all of our people this week, it seems clear that while it is not now guaranteed that Carson Wentz will be back, it is certainly a whole lot more likely than it was when you and I had this conversation a week ago. And it seems awfully likely to me that Jeffrey Lurie is a really big fan of the guy, right? Like, he gave Carson Wentz this massive contract. I think there's probably a decent amount of that engineering coming from on high. What I hope is that he doesn't make Carson Wentz's rehabilitation the primary means of his decision for next head coach. Like, if he's actually going to focus this program 3, 4, 5 years ahead, he needs to find someone that certainly, views Wentz favorably, but not someone for, like, not a quarterback whisperer type who doesn't have any other kind of experience. We've seen a lot of teams hire coaches for that very reason and fail miserably. So I'm hoping they don't choose to overemphasize that in their process.
Are your NFL experts that show up on Get Up, are they endorsing that they can make it work with Carson Wentz? Or are they endorsing Hurts for a new coach? Like, what's going on in their heads about this?
So most people think that Carson Wentz is going to be back next year, probably more because of the financials than anything else. The only circumstance in which we see Jalen Hurts as being likely to be the Eagles' week one starter next season is if Jeffrey Lurie did find a way to lure Lincoln Riley here from Oklahoma, which would indicate theoretically that Lincoln Riley is a big fan of the player, right? That's really the only way. What I'm curious about is whether or not should Carson Wentz be this sort of projected week one starter, whether or not Jalen Hurts can coexist with him, because we know for sure that Carson Wentz, based on all of that reporting at the end of the season, isn't all that comfortable competing or being in a potential backup role, right? So the Eagles might have to choose between those guys this offseason and move on from Jalen Hurts after year one, which would be fairly bizarre, but wouldn't stun me.
Yeah, and that's what I think the ultimate solution has to be, that they move on from Jalen Hurts and try to get value for him. Let's look at the potential coaches, because they're talking to everybody, including Kellen Moore, of all people. I can see where this is going to get really ridiculous, but where do you think they're going, and what are your NFL people saying?
The Eagles, like almost everyone else, are interviewing everybody, except they're sort of a week late in the process, although it doesn't seem like that's going to hurt them too badly, because the only guy that's sort of lined up so far is Urban Meyer, and obviously there was never any affiliation there. It wouldn't at all surprise me if we flirt pretty hard with both Ryan Day from Ohio State and Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. We know that Jeffrey Lurie in the past has been willing to go the college route, and I think he's, my guess, and because he prioritizes offense so much with his decisions in this regard, we'll look at their success at the college level, both in terms of their offenses collectively and their ability to develop quarterbacks year after year very positively. And if you're hiring one of those guys rather than a, say, hot coordinator, you know that at minimum they have the general head coaching skills and the college success to back it up. The NFL coordinator, like the hot coordinator type that I like most, that's in the conversation for the Eagles, is Arthur Smith of the Tennessee Titans, who, for my money, has done more with the collection of talent than he has been given than any coordinator in the league right now. So that's where my reference on the matter.
Okay. All right. So if we look at this, let's look at the front office situation and what the NFL people are saying about how Howie Rosen was able to come out of that office still with his job. Peterson was not. And what the owner had to say about that and his justification of their talent selecting process.
Yeah, so that's a very difficult thing to reconcile, right? Howie Roseman seems to have nine lives. It seems like the equity that he built up from building that Super Bowl team in 2017 lasted a whole lot longer than obviously Doug's. And I think the fact that they're up there in those palatial offices probably has a lot to do with that. There is really no way, though, that you can reconcile anything that Howie has done objectively the last few years in terms of the drafting, in terms of the trades, in terms of the free agents, and the player procurement at large has been really bad. And the Eagles are not only positioned very unfavorably from a financial standpoint right now, $51 million scheduled to be over the cap, and they've missed on a lot of these draft picks, and they have a full-blown quarterback controversy. So when you look at like sort of the foundational pieces of a head coaching vacancy, I'm not sure that the Eagles don't rank very at the very bottom of that list, although that was the case last time too. And within 2 years, he won us a Super Bowl.
All right, let's move on to the business here and the little inside information and tidbits that the people can use for this round of NFL playoff games. Let's start with the Rams and Packers. A tough road to go through Lambeau, but a lot of people like the Rams in this game.
Yeah, and I do too. So Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers have only lost seven games together, but all seven losses have one thing in common, Mikey, man. Their opponents predominantly play zone defense in those games, and the Rams play the most effective zone in the league, allowing a QBR of 35 and a touchdown interception ratio of 5-9. And on a per-play basis, this Rams defense is actually in line to be the best unit since the 2015 Broncos. That team beat Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady and MVP Cam Newton and won the Super Bowl.
You sniffing outright?
I can't go there with Jared Goff, Edward Scissorhands, but like I think there's a real chance that you take the Rams, +6.5, +7, and the under in this
okay.
game.
All right, let's move on to night game Saturday, Ravens at the Bills. Bills rolling, but they're only favored 2.5 in this game.
Yeah, this one, as a wise man would occasionally say, this is a bit of a smelly line, and I'll tell you why. The Ravens have rushed for 1,573 yards over their last six games, Mike. That's the highest total in a six-game span since the 1949 Eagles of NFL championship fame. Meanwhile, the Bills only lost three times this season, but allowed 601 yards rushing in those games. And though Buffalo is a slight favorite in Vegas, the old ESPN Football Power Index actually favors Baltimore by a hair in this one.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to Sunday. This looks like blowout city based on all the circumstances. I think the Browns had their shot. They shot it, and now they're up against the Chiefs in a double-digit line here.
That's how I see it, too. But I will provide a blueprint. Teams to beat Patrick Mahomes owned a plus 129 play advantage in those games. So not surprisingly, history says the Browns will need to sustain long scoring drives to have any chance to win it. But you know this well. With 2 weeks to prepare, Andy Reid teams are 20-3 in the regular season and 6-2 in the playoffs. That's 26-5 overall. Mike, that's the best record of any coach in the Super Bowl era. And he's 21-10 against the number in those games, for what it's worth.
All right, final game. Oh, everybody loves the Buccaneers in this game, which is totally disrespectful to the Saints, who are a 3-point favorite at home, a normal line. What's up with this game?
So the Saints generate pressure with their front four at the highest rate in the NFL. And the last time they saw the Bucs, Brady saw his highest pressure rate in a game in 4 years. But that Tampa O-line has since gotten its act together. Tom Brady has only been contacted 16 times in 8 games since that Week 9 loss. Further, over his last 5 games, Brady has completed 77% of his passes for more than 10 yards per attempt with 5 touchdowns when targeting Antonio Brown, who wasn't really a factor in either of those games. So if you want to dream on the Bucs, you do have some data with which to do it. Mm.
All right. Hemba, always a great time to talk to you. And thanks for the info. And we'll be following what's going on this weekend and talk to you later.
You're a good man.
There he is. Hemba, Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce 4. I don't know where I'm going this week with these games right now. My initial reaction is Rams cover, Ravens outright win, Chiefs in a rout, and I'm not believing the Buccaneers.
Well, you know you're coming to the wrong one to talk about the Saints.
Yeah, I know you're all over the. Yeah, you're going to wear the Tampa Bay hat.
Yeah,
maybe.
I wonder how Breeze is going to move the ball
because
he's dinking and dunking.
Yeah,
Brady's still firing it down the field.
Yeah,
because of his magic water and nutrition.
Yeah, he is.
He's still firing it down the field.
Tom Brady's number one fan, that's the real factor.
I do wonder that if the Bucs, I'm being serious, starts moving it, how the Saints keep up with this version of Breeze that just his average down the field is like 4 yards. He just doesn't.
I get it.
That arm is just a noodle.
I get
anymore.
It. It's almost too easy to go Bucs here, and I think the Saints are getting disrespected. So
they might be.
It's a sniffy.
And
yeah, fish line.
That Brady not wanting to get hit thing is very real. And if they get to him early, he'll get erratic as he ages. He doesn't like to get touched. While Breeze actually still has more physical toughness, except for his arm, which is just wretched.
Yeah, it's
that arm is just, he can't right get now. It down. Yeah, yeah, he just can't do it.
All right, here's the deal. A couple open lines now because we had Hembo on. So it's clear to get in. It's 610-622-0975. Flyers from last night, big victory. How are we talking about it so far?
Taking
it for granted?
Well, I feel like after
taking the success for granted?
Yet? I feel like after a win, you know, people are generally
just
pleasant.
Yeah. Well, and even a couple people that would go, Stanley Cup would be welcomed right now.
Yeah.
Because that was impressive.
Well, and I mean, you opened the show with the Flyers, which is what the people have asked for years.
Last night. Wore down that team. And I listened to that Pierre McGuire, who's telling me about so-and-so's junior hockey and who played on the Providence line. But he was actually very laudatory of the Philadelphia Flyers.
They're good, and I like that the young guys, including my guy Farabee, is lighting
the lamp. We got to settle this once and for all, okay? Because I was reading the tweets, and your guy Farabee.
He's been my guy.
He's your guy, and it's fine for him to be your guy. He can't be in Club Tyrone. He's not a Club Tyrone guy.
He is.
Because he's too good, right?
He's too good. He's a prospect. He's Alec Bohm. You can't put Alec Bohm in Club Tyrone.
If I had to put him in when he was in single A.
No, because he was always touted as a prospect. Club Tyrone has the poor, wretched, yearning to be free people.
Nah. We gotta have some. It's been a great year for Club Tyrone. Yeah. Josh Sweat had took a big step. Shake Milton in the rotation.
Shake Milton came out of nowhere. He's legit Club Tyrone.
I was on that guy early from the SEC because he can fire. These are my guys.
You are blurring the line of the whole charter of Club Tyrone.
Well, these guys don't have to wait in line. The other Club Tyrone guys have
better
to
be
line,
too much
right?
of a prospect to be a Club Tyrone guy. He's always a highly touted prospect.
But he gets to the front of the line.
I was early.
He's Red Velvet Rope.
Oh, yeah. Mylotta played some good football.
Right. Mylotta belongs in Club Tyrone. He was a seventh round draft pick. This Farabee was supposed to be a star player.
Well, let me tell you, it's looking like a star player. And you know who said it first? Me. Other guys, you don't know if he's ready, you don't know if he can dress. 20 years old, 4 points to start. Watch out. Watch out for my guy, Farabee. Watch out.
I think it's great that you endorse Farabee. I think it's great that he's your guy. He can't be a Club Tyroner.
Yeah, I might have to shut it back down. We only reopened because of Shake Milton. We might have to shut it back down.
Well, you're still 25%, right?
Yeah, we had some free shots to go last night, but we might have to shut it back down. If I can't have Farabee, I don't know if I want it.
The outdoor dining?
Yeah. I got to have
Farabee. You can have Farabee any day of the week, except he's not the Club Tyrone type.
Telling you, this guy
is a type for
he's
Club
too polished.
Tyrone.
He's too polished.
Yeah, some people will acknowledge that. They know what the criteria for Club Tyrone is. Fly fans aren't going to put no Farabee in there.
What are you talking about? The Flyers fans were the ones who came to me.
Farabee's a prospect.
The more Farabee scored, the more they wanted.
A prospect.
I heard the new members have to wear an ascot.
I'm thinking about adding that to my look.
That's what they. Right, yeah, you should. You should.
Let's go to Ken in Marlton. Ken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ken.
Michael, what's up, my brother?
What's going on, Ken?
So, first of all, just 100%, Crosby's 100% deadlocked to make, you know, the Canadian female figure skater Hall of Fame. Seriously. That's all right.
My man's a Hall of Famer, man. Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Him and Tara Lipinski. So,
Oh, so listen, my God.
Mike, you're first of all,
Carol Lipinski.
Listen, regarding your take on the Eagles and the head coaching situation, you're 100% right. There's no way a head football coach is going for it. You know, 4th and 7 from their own 22, 2 minutes into the game when the score is 0-0. That kind of stuff is coming from up higher, and I think Doug had enough of it.
I don't think they were doing that. I think there was a discussion, hey, you got to lose this game because the difference between 9 and 6 is substantial. We're all analytical people here, and we can't get to 6 from 9. So I agree, and it was confirmed by Andrew Brandt. I don't think they're calling down, go for it on 4th down. I think that's his stonotishness.
Well, there's a little bit of it because you can see that from his play calling. But listen, I don't necessarily want to get rid of Carson Wentz. You know, Doug and the stuff that was going on clearly destroyed that guy's confidence. There's a possibility for a trade, I think. I don't know what the ramifications are regarding the salary cap, but Houston's having issues with their quarterback.
You know what the ramifications are of the salary cap. They trade him. They're still going to have to count for 34.6 off their cap.
Plus pay the guy about 35. That would count. I got you.
Yeah, so they would be paying over $50 million in one position. The cap's supposed to go down. You got what? 60 more left?
With a new coach, you know, this guy could be rehabbed.
I don't think you have any choice. That's why, if you're listening to me, it was a very clear choice. You're in Doug, keep Carson, trade Hurts. Now, that's two other things could happen. One happened already. They keep Wentz. They move Hurts for value. That's because you can't have them both, in my view.
Also, I lost a lot of respect for Doug today. Mm-hmm. with that story where Troy Aikman apparently went on somebody's podcast and said, I talked to Doug.
Yeah.
And Doug wanted to get rid of Carson, and they wouldn't let him.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I lost respect for him was Carson publicly always took the high road when it came to Doug. And I don't think he ever really liked Doug because I don't think he ever thought Doug was smart. Mm-hmm. Yet he would never say it to anybody directly.
No, and even when he was questioned about Doug's play calling, and especially with the rollouts early on in the season, Carson's response was always, well, they justified it by, you know, playing against the opposing, like the defensive scheme.
Right. Like he always had
an answer when he was like, I should be rolled out. Why are they only rolling me out twice? He always had an answer and a football answer too.
And in Doug's first chance he gets, man, I want to get rid of something about that makes me think that perhaps he was okay with some of those Howie leaks.
You know, what's interesting. Doug's a very trusting guy. He trusted Favre, who blapped.
Immediately.
And he trusted Aikman, who blapped.
Right.
That's a good point. Yes.
Doug. All right. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Twitter poll update, 3:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agonoff. Nat.
All righty, Mike, over 1,000 votes on this one so far. Will almost being traded change the way Ben Simmons plays for the better? 21% say yes, more shooting ahead. 79% say no, he is who he is. So
yes, he is.
People are not feeling it. people are not feeling any optimism.
We'll talk to him today. Let me just give you a little heads up in case you want to listen to it or if you don't want to listen to it, because in about 15 minutes... right now I'm calling on the Philadelphia Phillies to do the right thing and remove the plaque of Curt Schilling from the Wall of Fame. Now, this is a very easy decision for me, even though I was once a friend of this man. But there's a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer today that, to me, illustrates his unworthiness to be a member of the Phillies Wall of Fame. I'll explain in detail in a little bit. And I'm also calling on the Baseball Writers of America, who are responsible for voting people in the Hall of Fame, to not do this for this particular guy in this particular world climate. He doesn't deserve to be in it in this particular world climate. And I'll give you my reasoning in a little bit. And if you don't agree, you don't agree. But I think that I want to go so far as to create a petition of signatures to get to the Phillies, as soon as I figure out how to do that with Tyrone's help, of signatures that would force the Phillies to act in this particular situation. And this is not hard for me at all, because I think people need, at this particular moment, to stand up against these kind of things and the kind of things that man has been spouting, and especially spouted the day of the insurrection. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Pete in Pennsylvania. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Pete?
First time call, long time listener for you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Love your knowledge, love everything of your station. Wonderful job, all three of you do. Just want to know, what's the reasoning, the hard line on Harding?
Harden?
Yeah.
What do you mean the hard line on Harden?
Well, you act like he's like Jordan. I don't think he's a player. He has to shoot 40 times a night.
So yeah, listen, bro.
You would have had Luke trade with Simmons, Mackey, and Harris, right? Who else is going to be there for you? Who else is going to be there? And you just compared the Sixers, to Golden State, you need 3-point shooting. Yeah.
But Pete, take a breath.
No,
Take a breath.
You want 3-point shooting, but who's going to shoot the 3-pointer? Harden? 40 times a game?
Pete.
And when is Embiid going to get his points?
Can you let me speak?
He's going back to a 2-man game.
I guess you don't want me to speak. You asked me, or you want to get my viewpoint in this or not?
I already know your viewpoint.
Okay.
And the thing is, you're going.
All right. Well, first of all, you are spectacularly shortchanging the ability of a top five player in a league, which Harden is. Second of all, you are. If you're going to listen to me and be quiet for 3 seconds, then please listen, and I'll give you your chance to respond.
Nobody anyway.
Jason in Westchester, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jason.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Jason?
Huge Flyers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I am tired of hearing about Sidney Crosby's no good. This guy's been eating our lunch for over a decade. I think he scored more points against the Flyers than he scored against any other team, if I'm not mistaken. Now,
I don't think anybody's saying he's not good. I was just making kind of light of an email I got that didn't.
No, but you hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. Crosby sucks. I mean, we chant it.
But we know he doesn't suck. Listen, Flyer fans are hockey knowledgeable enough to know he doesn't suck. They just don't like him because he's the enemy.
Mike, I was at the first game he played in Philadelphia. Darren Hatcher puts him into the boards, chips his tooth. How'd that game end? Overtime, Sidney Crosby goal. So I'm not trying to like.
He's a Hall of Fame, clear top 10 player in NHL history. All right, well, my man's listening to the. last two calls have been shaky.
It's business time every day.
Listen, my man is still listening about Harden. You can have your own opinions. I really don't think you've paid much attention to Harden's career. Because these people get caught up in, what did you want? Look at where he is in that franchise's history as far as playoff games won. Okay? Now, and if you don't think that matters, then you're foolish. They didn't have a good enough team to win a championship. That happens a lot. It happened to Charles Barkley, right? He won a lot of playoff games with that franchise despite that team not being good enough. When you put them up against the great teams that won the championships, they weren't better than the Golden State Warriors during that era. And so, like, your notion that he shoots 40 times a game and he doesn't help a team win is ridiculous, right? He's a flat-out top-five player in the league. And you balance that with the fact that your team's not good enough to crash into now the Nets and Bucks. So, I don't know, what are you arguing for here? And I'm not against the Sixers. I'm just merely pointing out the realities that with Harden on this team, they would have been better qualified to win the East. And now they're not.
This year, on purpose, out of shape and heavy, fresh out the strip club, 25 points, 10 assists, another, 5 rebounds. His scoring totals the last several years, for people that don't know, 29, 29.1, 30.4, 36.1, 34.3.
Mm-hmm.
With the assist totals being 7.5, 11.2, 8.8, 7.5, 7.5.
Yeah.
To go with that 30-plus point scoring. And you're talking about a guy who's 31, not 38 or 35. He's 31, which means he's smack dab in his prime. And he's they play the Nets on February 6th. It's a Saturday. I guarantee he's lost. That's 2 weeks. He will lose 6 to 10 of those pounds by then. And that game is in Philly. And I tell you what, Sixers better win or you're going to look pretty bad. If he comes out there and puts 40 on him.
Listen, man, the guy said, I'd rather go with this guy. If you'd rather proceed with the way the Sixers are now, God bless you. You're not a bad team. They're going to be fun to watch. I'm merely saying, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to beat the Nets or the Bucks. And if you can accept that, that's fine. And you can have a fun year. I'm just saying they would have been closer to an Eastern Conference championship with Harden. Now, they didn't get him. And I can't blame him because the deal is prohibitive. But don't try to make the case that it's a good thing. It's not.
Even if you think it's a good thing, I stop saying he's not a great basketball player. That should be the I can't even accept if you think, I don't agree, that they can win. But what you can't say is Harden's not great at basketball. And how are we getting Harden wrong? He's been prominent for years. How are we hoarding? How are we getting that name wrong?
If you're going to make the case, all due respect to the man, I think you should probably get the name right. Would be my first suggestion would not to call him Harding, because that's Warren G. He was a president of the United States. It's not the same guy.
No,
that's Harding.
And he's been.
He might have played ball, but
he's won an MVP.
Right.
Like he's been in the finals. Uh-huh. Like he's won Sixth Man of the Year.
It's not like he's an up and comer.
Right, he's been in the All Star Game of Book Talks. At this point, we should know the man's name.
Yeah,
and we should know that he's good at basketball.
So I'm thinking that if you didn't know his correct name, you haven't really followed his career that closely. So I get it. All right, let's go to Reed in Charlotte. Reed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Reed.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Reed?
Mike, Natalie. I got a couple points to make, and hopefully I don't lose you. I'm on the road.
Uh-huh.
But I want to talk Sixers and then Eagles real quick. First of all, I'm not upset we didn't get Harden. Like I said, the haul was probably a little too much for me as well. But when did the size of a basketball court change? Because I keep hearing, well, you can't win in today's NBA with your center being the focal point down the stretch of a basketball game and stuff like that.
I don't think anybody has said that. If your big man is good enough, certainly you can win.
Well, I think our big man is good enough. I keep hearing you.
He certainly is. He certainly is. But look at the NBA now. You need to generate perimeter points. Can the Sixers do that now? They might be able to. But with the point guard, the ball in the point guard's hand, and he's unwilling to open up that avenue of his game, they're limited.
Well, but if you notice what's going on the first couple of weeks, the ball's not always in his hand the whole time. The ball's not always in. Ben brings it up, and then he gives up right over half.
Yeah, did you watch the game the other night against the Heat?
No, because I was home in Charlotte, but I watched it tonight because it was on TNT. But I know he had a bad game.
It's not on TNT tonight.
Yeah, tonight the game is. Yeah.
No, they took it off TNT.
Oh, they took it off. Right, but anyway, I'm not defending Ben. I know Ben got to play better, so that's not what I'm doing here. But what I'm saying is the ball's not it's not in his hands much this year.
Let's cut to the chase. Reed, do you believe the Sixers in their current form are good enough to get past the Nets and the Bucks?
I believe so because I think we're too big for the Nets right now. With them trading away Allen, I think they lost some depth. They lost some depth with LeVert. They lost Dinwiddie for the year. I think we could compete with them. Yeah, they got three great all time scorers, but I think we could compete with them. The way our team is constructed now.
Okay, you think that? I don't.
Now my football point. Arthur Smith, Robert Saleh, to me, those are the two guys. Saleh, because he's going to bring, if Carson Wentz plays better under center, running play action, getting on the bootlegs. If you look at the Shanahan coaching tree, that's what those guys do. You look in Cincinnati, you look in Green Bay, you look in San Francisco.
Yeah, but Saleh's a defensive guy.
But Saleh's going to bring the offensive system from the
Okay, all right, I'll be okay with that.
Which is LaFleur's younger brother, Mike LaFleur.
Yeah.
And Arthur Smith runs the same.
Listen, I don't have a preference on the coach. I believe that they do their due diligence and come up with a good name. I can't sit here and say this guy's better than the next guy. They do that research.
I think what Arthur Smith did with Tannehill, now, I wouldn't say he didn't have any talent. Mm-hmm. Both those receivers were first round receivers, and you got a Heisman Trophy winning running back.
No, I'd be okay with Arthur Smith. I'd be okay with Saleh. I don't have any problem with either man. 6-1. I don't even have a problem with Lincoln Riley, to be honest with you. If they decide that he's the guy they want to move forward to, just be careful. That's all I say. Instead of trying to find a shiny new toy, get the guy that's qualified through your research.
I'd be a little afraid of that. Only 4 years as a head coach. That's what happened with Chip. I don't think Chip had enough.
I get it.
Of a pedigree
this
as
is
a
where
head
I,
man.
This is why I said don't fall for the shiny new toy. Really delve into whether he's the qualified guy.
Right.
All right, on the other side, I'm going to call out the Phillies. I hope they're listening, man, because this is a very serious issue to me. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
346. Oh, it's Mike Maselli, 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-622-0975. Yes, the Sixers will not be on TNT tonight. Rockets and Spurs. Because it's just not a good game with the Heat being depleted. So nobody wants to see that. So TNT acted.
Yeah.
All right, so where will we be able to see the Sixers? On
NBC Sports. It was going to be on both anyway. Yeah, okay. It was going to be one of those. But for an out-of-towner like him who can't get the Sixers game, mm-hmm. one, if you're out-of-towner, you have to invest in the league pass. I mean, stop being cheap. You can pay for it monthly. You don't have to pay for the flat rate anymore. Like, mm-hmm. stop being cheap. But yeah, NBC Sports Philly, the game will be on.
All right, for those of you who have listened to this show over the years, you know that I once was an acquaintance of Curt Schilling. In fact, he was a guest on this show. Many times. And if you have been following him over these last couple of years, you know where his right-wing fervor stands. And so I was reading a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer today written by Bob Brookover, and the headline of it was Schilling worthy of the Hall of Fame, which was interesting because the column made exactly the case on why he shouldn't in any way be in any Hall of Fame, is because we need to be more conscious of what sedition is these days. During, and the story points it out and gives you exactly his tweet. During the, as the protesters stormed the Capitol on Washington, Schilling tweeted this, the following. You cowards sat on your hands, did nothing while liberal trash looted, rioted, and burned for Air Jordans and big screens. Sit back, STFU, and watch folks start a confrontation for S that matters, like rights, democracy, and the end of government corruption. First of all, the ignorance in this tweet, despite the fact that it's blatantly racist, when he goes off to reduce a Black Lives Matter protest, protesting against racial inequality all these decades in America, to reduce it to a bunch of black kids who just wanted Air Jordans, is totally racist. And in this society, it's time now for us to stand up to racism and take a bite at it. And how do you do that? You be proactive against it. You push up hard against it. You bring it to light, and then you do your best to stomp it out. And so in this climate where we're forced in the year 2020 to put down a sedition, for this man to still be spouting this kind of rhetoric, he should be removed from the Hall of Fame and removed from any Hall of Fame consideration. And I urge the Phillies and I urge the voters of Major League Baseball, the media leaders, to follow that lead and not vote him in. Now, I have invited John Middleton. I called him out personally on this in my tweet. I have invited him through his emissaries to come on this radio station today and talk about it. I implore a noble man like Dave Buck, who is a major executive with the Philadelphia Phillies, to do the right thing and cancel this fool. Because it's time for us to stand up against it. And I don't care what you think about cancel culture. It's time for us to take a bite out of this crap now. All right. That's all I had to say about that.
Well said, Mike.
Let's go to Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Ryan?
So I want to call and further explain and defend my Sidney Crosby email to you because I think...
Oh, that's right. Ryan's the guy who started this whole Sidney Crosby thing. Here he is, live and in person, folks.
Here I am. Anyway, I don't want to get into a debate on who's in the top 10, who's not, because that's not really what the original intent of my email was anyway. The only point I was making in comparing it to Gretzky and Lemieux was this. When he was drafted in 2005, the first pick of the NHL draft, his nickname was the next one. In other words, you know, Gretzky was, of course, the great one. So they're saying Crosby is the next one, as, you know, he'll be the next Gretzky. And, I don't disagree at all that he's a great player. He's probably a top 10 NHL player of all time.
But has he done anything in his career to warrant a comparison with Wayne Gretzky?
Who is that's comparing him to Wayne Gretzky? Okay, so you can't get past the fact that somebody called him the Nets one? Let's move into 2020 here. No, nobody's comparing him to Gretzky.
There are plenty of people who say he's the third best player of all time.
Come on, man. Come on, Ryan. Listen, Ryan. I get it, man. You're a Flyer fan. You're sore about Sidney Crosby. I got it. Come on, man.
And yet I put Lemieux at two. He played for the Penguins.
All right. Well, Lemieux was not, like, what, didn't have a hate to face.
I played for the Rangers.
Okay, but he didn't have a hate to face either. You don't like Crosby because he's a punk. I get it. But hey, you're letting that shape your narrative of your evaluation of the guy. Nobody said he's Gretzky or Lemieux. People said he's a great player.
There are people who make that comparison.
Well, you should call. You should do. You should call them. You should identify them and call them.
I'm just explaining the rationale. If I could make a real quick comment on the Schilling thing.
Sure.
Because I want to just pose a question to you. And I want to make it very clear. I completely agree with you that Schilling should not be in any Hall of Fame. Everything you just said, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But the only question I've been then asked, and I'm not taking a stance here, this is just an interesting, thought-provoking question, is you would agree with me that Schilling was not like a guaranteed like first ballot Hall of Famer. That's why it took him like 9 times and he's still on the ballot.
Yeah.
What if this was like, hypothetically like one of the greatest baseball players in the history of baseball and he was saying these kind of things?
One of the greatest players in the history of baseball is Barry Bonds. Is he in Hall of Fame? Is there a reason why he's not in Hall of Fame?
Well, that's
is there a reason why Pete Rose is not in Hall of Fame? It's just as egregious to me. This is more egregious. This is life.
No, so the answer to that question is yes, then.
Yes, the answer to that question is definitely yes.
So you would take Koufax out of the Hall of Fame?
Why would I take Koufax out of the Hall of Fame?
I'm saying if Koufax said the same thing as Schilling.
If he said it now? Today?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody
Randy
who
Johnson.
Walks up against sedition after what had happened at the Capitol building, to me, isn't deserving of any awarding. That person should not be rewarded in any way because life is more important than what you did in a playoff game. I'm sorry.
No, I just brought that up because I'm sure someone's going to say that. Well, Schilling's not in, but what if it was Mike Smith, the greatest third baseman of all time?
That doesn't matter to me. If you have the audacity to tweet something like that out during sedition, without concern for this country, then I don't have it. You should not be rewarded in any way. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. And 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. All right, so here's the deal. Now, we got to shake this all out. Flyers win last night, and they were very impressive. And if you listen to the broadcast, that Pierre Maguire was very impressed by him. They did a two-man booth last night, one guy in a glass booth, and the other guy doing the play-by-play.
Yeah. It's
Kenny Albert.
It's going to be tough. With the COVID, they don't want to take any chances.
Yeah, so they got a new guy now. Also, Milbury out.
Yes.
And who did they replace him with?
I didn't watch. I thought it was, I don't know. I watched in between the periods, too. I don't know why I don't know.
They had a couple guys on remote, but I know mm-hmm. they replaced Milbury with somebody.
Yeah, I didn't see. And Roenick's on the out right now, too.
Yeah,
and he's suing him, so new blood.
He's a whole all new blood.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that was a great victory. And we're continuing to talk about the Sixers. And the reality is that Harden's now playing with the Nets, which makes the Nets. And I know people are trying to deny it, and that's, you know, whatever. But the Nets are ahead of the Sixers, so is the Bucks. So here's the, I'm going to boil this down into four little tidbits here that we talked about earlier. Number one, the Sixers in their current form, knowing what the Nets Bucks have, because in Vegas they're ranked the Sixers as the third best bet. So can this Sixer team win the East? With this configuration, can they beat the Nets or the Bucks? Number two, Ben was obviously scared a little bit. Was he scared straight? I don't know, but he didn't want to be traded, and he manifested that opinion to management. So now, will a scared Ben, and I hearken back to the Iverson days where they called him a carpet, and they said, listen, dude, they want to trade you. So, you know, whatever. You handle it. And he handled it because he got scared. He didn't want to leave Philadelphia. Number three, do they need to make another deal to make them closer to the Nets or the Bucks? And then number four is just the fallouts, which is, do we have to come to grips with the fact that they might not win this year, but they have a nice foundation, and they, maybe next year, see, that's the problem. The Nets and the Bucks in the next couple of years aren't going to really have attrition. So we would have to follow this process continued along. And if you're willing to do that, fine. I don't know if we have another choice but to do that, but that's the way it shakes out.
Thanks to our boy Kobe Cohen. We got to get him on soon to talk about the Fly Guys. Bob McKenzie. Bob McKenzie with Catherine Tappan was the one set. And then the other one was the one we're used to with Jonesy and Patrick Sharp.
Sharpie.
Yeah.
Catherine Tappan went Jonesy and Sharpie last night.
Oh, yes, she did.
She went Jonesy and Sharpie in one sentence.
Yes, you're right about that.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, so that's who the main was.
Okay. McKenzie is this old hockey guy that really only hockey people know, right?
He's from insider from Canada.
Yeah, he's the
Canadian
TSN guy.
Yes, and now he's getting more love.
Okay. All right, so let's roll back to the phones of Mike in Newark. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Uncle Mike, how we doing?
What's going on, man? Talk to me about the Flyers and the Cup.
Mike, I've been sitting here listening to you. Everybody's talking about how we can get the Eagles back to Super Bowl contenders, how we can get the Sixers into the championship. We got a team here in Philly by the Flyers that already has a championship roster. Do you got a team for me that can beat us in a 7-game series?
Yeah, in hockey, there's always a team, and it's early in the season. So, but I hear, they're a contender. They're a definite contender.
This is potentially the best team we've seen in 20 years, Mike.
It's a pretty deep team. I have to agree with you. It is pretty deep.
Well, that's all I had, Mike. I love the Flyers. I put in my future on the Flyers, and the Eagles are behind me right now until next season. The Sixers are the Sixers until we get some moves, but the Flyers are what we got.
Listen, Mike, I agree with you. This could be one of those years with the Flyers. Like, every night, you knew, like, if you had to go way back when a Flyers team, you knew every night had a chance to win, and they're that dominant. And that's what this team is. I agree with you.
Yeah. So they got me jazzed up, Mike, and I'm happy.
I'm sure you are happy. They got a nice mix of youth. You know, I just like, the first line, I'd like to see a little more pop. But the second line last night, I thought dominated play.
Yeah, but now having Patrick back, what do you think about him being a 20 to 30 goal scorer?
I don't know about 30. I mean, I hope that he can get 20. I'm not even sure about that. But, you got to wait a little bit. Like, the kid is just coming back. He's not playing hockey for a long period of time.
But I just see him being the number two overall pick, and we should be getting some more production out of him.
Yeah, I got you. All right, man. Hey, Mike, keep following. We'll be talking. I'm wearing the Flyer hat today.
All right, thank you.
I get to pay a little tribute to him. Let's go. Here's another hockey guy. Back to back, Tyrone, your boy. It's Aaron from Norristown. He wants to talk about your boy, Farabee. What's up, Aaron?
Michael, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Farabee does deserve to be in there. How many players do we have? Keep him in there, Tyrone. How many players do we have whose grandparents grew up in this area, in Warminster?
Farabee's
new Aaron was my guy.
Yeah, Farabee.
There you go.
He's a BU man, Farabee.
There you go. Even though he's the number one top first round draft pick, he belongs in that club.
He's a terrier.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
And the guy who's going to be the main guy replacing Milbury is going to be Mike Babcock, who's awesome on TV. So
is he?
McKenzie was filling in Babcock.
Oh, okay. Mike Babcock's going to be the guy. Okay.
Yeah. Right. But boy, oh boy, Michael, like the previous caller just said, what a deep team they have. And they just come at you in waves. I mean, their defense is going to be tested by, you know, teams that are more physical, like the Capitals and the Islanders. But, you know, if they can build that defense up with the young players that they have coming, I mean, they're a top four team in the NHL. I expected them to go to the, you know, conference finals last year and was very disappointed that they did not. I'd be very disappointed this year if they didn't go to the conference
finals. Oh, I totally agree with that.
You know, they have a top-notch coach. They have probably in there, and the way they set up the play, their goalie's probably the top goalie in their division, their 18 division. I mean, the problem is they got to play these seven other teams, eight times each. It's going to be an amazing hockey season. I wish they played 56 games every year. It'd be awesome.
I have advocated that for a long time.
I've
advocated skipping the regular season, going right to the playoffs. But that was in the past.
But I think, buddy, I'm telling you, I mean, if they can keep their defense, and this guy Gustafson, who they got, Gustafson 2 years ago, he, you know, last year was a mess. He only had like 30 points in 50 some games. He had 60 points 2 years ago.
He's a power play difference maker, and that's why we love to call him Gus.
Well, what were they missing last year in the playoffs?
The PP. PP?
Last night, when they have two strong lines that cannot beat Patrick.
Yeah.
And Patrick and Lindblom are a difference. That team
I agree with you. Now, here's the thing, Aaron. The coach came a little small in the playoffs.
Well, he's going to have to come up big.
You're right.
He's going to have to, yeah. And, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you, 5 years ago I called you, and I would have traded Giroux for Crosby then, and your previous producer went nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me the. You obviously know the three of them. The Penguins have only had four captains since 1987. Besides the obvious three, who is the fourth? That's a hell of a captain run they've had.
I'm sorry, repeat that question?
They've had four captains since 1987. The obvious three are Jagr, Lemieux, and Crosby. Who is the fourth?
Oh, I don't have any idea.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Former Hartford Whaler.
Former Hartford Whaler.
You're a hockey guy, man.
Former Hartford Whaler.
Ron Francis.
Oh, that's right. Ron Francis scored a lot of goals in the league. Yeah. They won a cup with Ron Francis, didn't they? He was on that squad? I don't know.
He may have.
A guy just emailed me about Harden. Because I'd say he's a top five player. Guy goes, he listed LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Doncic, Embiid, Curry. Now Embiid is the center, so we shouldn't take him out of there. So he's got LeBron, yes?
Well, I don't agree with the taking away the center thing. But LeBron.
Just for sake of argument here. Yeah. LeBron, yes?
Yeah.
Giannis?
No.
Harden better than Giannis?
Yes. We talk about play. So it's funny. Playoff wins matter. But Giannis is good? Here's another thing. How is Giannis in the playoffs? He's basically a center. What have they won with Giannis?
No.
Harden has won more than Giannis. Yes. So it either matters or it doesn't.
Okay.
And to me, it matters.
I'm reading you the list here.
Harden's ahead.
All right, Kawhi.
He has a ring. I'll give it to him, but it's borderline.
All right, Anthony Davis, you're going to say no to that.
No. Harden. Okay,
yeah. KD.
Yes, Cardi. KD is better.
Doncic.
Luka's better, yes. Even though he hasn't won a lot, his play has been so great, and he's also young and hasn't had an opportunity yet with the players around him.
Curry.
Not anymore. No, Harden's better.
All right, so you got LeBron. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi.
Yes.
KD.
Mm-hmm.
Doncic.
Yeah.
That makes him a top five player.
He's a top five player.
Harden a top five player.
I think Harden is a top five player.
All right. Here's the other question.
And that's why, and I think Beal, if I really looked at it, there's times where I put him in the top 10. There's times when I don't. He's not as good. So people that think it's a consolation prize, no, it is a consolation prize. Harden is better. He just is. He's better than Beal by a significant margin.
Yeah, I agree with that. And a lot of people don't see it. Because,
I love Beal.
You have this image of Harden now as a trouble guy. And so that taints your whole perspective. Somehow, like, he's been the biggest stiff in the playoffs ever, according to perception. And like, look at the games he's won. How many games has he won, actually? We have the total on how many games that he's... Harden has won about... Like, he has to have 25 playoff wins, no?
Yeah, I have to look it up. Right, he's got, I mean, he's been to the finals.
He was with the finals with Oakley. Like, he never wins in the playoff. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I got to look
up. Here's another question. I looked that up. So, guy asked this question. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. If Brady wins the Super Bowl,
I don't think he will, but yeah.
Will he be considered the GOAT of all American sports?
Who's the other?
Who, Jordan?
Jordan, yeah.
Dolly?
Right.
Gretzky? You want to go baseball? I know people say Babe Ruth. I probably wouldn't agree with that. I'd go Willie Mays, but you know, would he be... Wait, he would not be...
Nothing beats the Church of Jordan.
Hold a second. The Church of Jordan. Wait, so like right now, I still have Jordan. Even though I'm a LeBron guy.
Yeah, I don't.
Can we agree that if Brady, because it's the most important position in all of sports, would be the GOAT of all American sports?
I'd accept that. Right now, Jordan to me is third. Brady's already ahead of Jordan.
You got Brady, LeBron, Jordan.
Right now I have it LeBron, Brady, Jordan. But if Brady wins another one.
Yeah.
Makes him the GOAT of all time.
Unless LeBron comes back and comes by behind him and wins another one at 36.
I think he will,
actually. Then I put LeBron. Temporarily I have it LeBron, Brady, Jordan. If Brady wins, he moves to the top of the list.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I guess... What are the parameters for what's more? I guess it's more difficult to win a Super Bowl than than it is to win an NBA championship. Does that factor in when you're making considerations for who the greatest of all time would be? Because, what are the odds of winning a Super Bowl as an NFL player in general? I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of math.
Well, here's the thing.
You're right. I hear where you're going with that.
NBA is the hardest sport to win one. The easiest sport to win multiple.
Okay.
That's
right.
It's the hardest sport to win one. Because if you look at the total teams that win, it's big blocks. Boston forever. The Bulls. The Lakers. It's actually very... The Spurs. It's very hard to win one, but easy to win than one.
I got that. Here's the way I look at it. I put a lot of clout on the football side of this. And to me, the most important position in sports is the quarterback. And if you can accomplish what he's accomplished, logically, that would make him the GOAT of all American sports, for me.
Okay. I mean, I agree with the quarterback being the most important position in all of sports.
And he's still at an amazingly high level, which is astonishing to me.
Right, because it takes such a specific skill set to be able to maintain that position for such a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think I agree. Look at
that's unbelievable.
New year, new me. I told you.
Looking at this, he has 85 starts in the playoffs. He came off the bench.
Was this a Harden?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
66 wins.
66 playoff wins.
Yeah, he's above 500. He's 66 and 62. And you got to understand that when you lose a series, you're obviously always under 500 because the best of seven. So to be above 500 is significant over 100 and some games. 66 wins, 62 losses, 24 double doubles, and 3 triple doubles.
Now, how do people say, well, he doesn't win anything? Are you serious? He's at 66 playoff wins. And his teams have not. Have you ever looked at the Houston Rockets as the team to beat?
No, the only year they might have won it is when Paul got the hamstring injury.
Yeah, and had to miss. And they may have won it then. And then would have shut people up. So you got to factor that in. They were depleted when they tried to win that final game.
Of course you have to factor that in.
All right, let's go to Bob in Westchester. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Mike, Ty.
What's up, Bobby?
And the beautiful one. How are you? She, Natalie.
Well, thank you
Natalie,
for calling Natalie, me the beautiful one. I appreciate that.
Natalie makes ugly work because she's the only beautiful one on that show.
Oh, man. That hurts me deeply.
No, well, it might.
That hurts Tyrone and I both deeply.
I'm calling to change up a little bit. Back to the Eagles.
Yes.
All right. Nobody has mentioned one thing that I think has had a major problem that they've had a major problem with, and that is when you have an offensive coach that is also also the head coach. It doesn't work. Name me one or two franchises that made that work.
Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Mike McCarthy.
Those guys did, if you watched them carefully when they were coaching and putting in their advice to the guy up in the booth.
Not Andy Reid wasn't.
No.
Andy Reid wasn't.
No, okay. But we can make that argument back and forth, but the bottom line
I get your point. If you're skilled enough, you can pull it off. Doug Peterson was not.
No, you listen. When you have a team, a real working organization, and trust me, Michael, I have coached for a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you have a working organization, you have people working with you and under you that you depend on to do their jobs. You put into different situations. You put into different.
I hear your point, Bob. I'm not disagreeing with your point. I'm just saying it is possible if you're slick enough to pull it off. And Andy Reid was.
You know, I think sometimes we look at it like baseball versus football. In baseball, you have a manager. He runs the thing. He is the one. He is the man. And yes, he does talk to and take advice.
Baseball's a lot easier to coach, though. Come on.
This way?
It's a lot easier to coach.
What, baseball?
Yes. It's a lot easier to be a manager. I could be a baseball manager.
Have you ever been?
No, but that's not. I know the realities of what a baseball manager is.
How can you speak towards something that you've never done?
Because it's obvious that a baseball manager doesn't have to really do as much as a football coach does.
He doesn't.
No, why? He's got a staff of eight coaches too, which is ridiculous. A baseball manager has to put a lineup up and make proper moves and use hunches. It's not that difficult.
Okay, well,
football's a lot more sophisticated. You're running plays. You're running game plans. Come on, man. No game plans in baseball.
He's also saying, how do you know if you haven't... Has he coached in the NFL? No. Like, come on. This is what we do. We also didn't play in the NBA. Listen, we still can look at it and say, like, what does that mean?
I've been around baseball for a really long time, and I would love to tout it as this brilliant strategical game where you have to have a great manager, but you really don't. It's kind of self-evident, that game. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Critter Poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons at 4:30 with Natalie. Hello, Nat.
Hello, Mike. Over 1,100 votes on this one today. Will almost being traded change the way Ben Simmons plays for the better? 21% say yes. More shooting ahead. 79% say no. He is who he is.
All right. Thank you very much. If you listened prior to the 4 o'clock hour, you heard me personally call out the Phillies. To remove the Wall of Fame plaque of Curt Schilling. If you agree and you feel as strongly as I do about it, contact the Phillies. You can go on their website, phillies.com, or you can call this number, 215-463-6000. or you can get in touch with them by Twitter, at Phillies, if you want to be heard on this. And I'm willing to front it any way I can, to be honest with you. Well, and I would love to create a petition.
Yeah, I'm working on that. But
yeah, we were coming up with the tags and stuff for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're working on that, but the email address thing's got me stuck.
Yeah, they don't have an email address.
No.
What?
Your...
Oh, my email address?
Yeah, because apparently you've already signed up for something.
I did?
According to
them. That's what it says.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be about done.
I've signed up for something.
Yeah, with the particular place I'm making the petition.
Oh, really?
That's what it says when I put in your...
Did I try to do that today?
I don't know.
No?
No? It could be from before. Have you ever signed a petition online?
Yeah, if you signed a petition, they might have your email.
You probably already have an account.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. We'll figure it out.
All right.
Next break.
All right, whatever. Let's go to Chris in Overbrook. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Yo, Mike, what's up?
What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, I'm just glad the Sixers, for whatever, dodged that bullet, because that would have been one of the stupidest moves. Sixers have made some really stupid moves every year, but that would have been at least top three, top two.
What, acquiring Harden?
What? For Ben Simmons, Tyrese Maxey, and Matisse Thybulle? That would have been dumb.
You would have?
Listen.
Let me ask you a question quickly.
Yeah.
All right. You make that deal. You get Harden. Are you better than you were before you made the deal?
Maybe this year, but not in 2-3 years. No way.
What do you worry about 2-3 years? What does that even mean? Do you want to be a contender or not?
We would have a chance maybe to win a championship with Harden, but we have a chance with the way the team is currently constructed to win multiple championships down the line if you keep all three of those together, plus Embiid.
Okay, so you're saying you got a chance to win multiple championships even though they haven't won one yet?
No, of course not.
Okay, all right. Listen, man, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't think the Sixers are any better by not making that deal, but I got you.
So I just want to make one more statement. People want to talk about championships and Michael Jordan, because I heard you talking about the GOAT with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to talk about LeBron James. Will Chamberlain is the best basketball player of all time, and it's not even close.
No,
he's not even close.
He's not
even close.
How many championships will Will win?
It doesn't matter. Any basketball player that can bench 600 pounds and lift Arnold Schwarzenegger up with one hand?
What does that mean?
We're not just talking about stories. This is real stuff.
Yeah, come on, man. Listen, Will is larger than life. I get it. But, and he did Herculean feats, but he also overmatched everybody physically at that time. And God bless him, he did.
Old timers.
He's only won two championships, and the second one he won, he wasn't even the major focus on that team.
A lot of people got mad at me when I said, correctly, by the way, that Joel Embiid does more on a basketball floor than Wilt Chamberlain did. And they got so mad at me. Well, that doesn't mean he's better. He does more things.
People here have a reverence for Will Chamberlain because his name is larger than
life. I love
life.
Will.
But you're talking about Harden being a cancer. Will was that cancer. He was. Let's not ignore that part of it. He was not a great teammate. And the one time they made him a great teammate is when they won the championship with that 66-67 team, which a lot of people consider the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, people.
But I love Will.
It's like Paul Bunyan, you know?
And I love Paul Bunyan, but let's say there was a guy.
He has the ox.
He's larger than life.
Right, but what if there was a guy who chopped the trees, but then also split the logs and then built the house? I would say that person did more things than Paul Bunyan, even though Paul Bunyan is the icon.
It's funny, because the old school people will say that about Will, and they should. They grew up with the that he was like the Adonis of the game. Nobody could, like, it was like a big skyscraper, and people were like trying to crawl up it. You know, I get it.
He could teach
Harden his dominance.
He could teach Harden a thing or two about the ladies too.
Well, I was going to say that, but they also act like Wilt went home and like twiddled his thumbs and just did some reading every single night.
Wilt played for his team and didn't even live here. He commuted from New York City.
Yeah, commuted from New York City. Then he bought a house out in L.A. It opened up to the sky.
Yes.
His house opened up.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. His bedroom opened up to the sky.
Yeah, and it was the big round. Wow. It was a big round bed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Wilt was living.
Yeah, he was an angel.
Yeah, well, he didn't have to be an angel.
All basketball, all the time.
It's like to say he was the greatest ever. I think you're getting confused with the Herculean reputation of Wilt coming in, because you can slice and dice that career many different ways. Tom in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Tom?
By the way, amen to what you're saying about Curt Schilling.
It's just flat-out embarrassing now.
It is. It's embarrassing.
And the racism that's involved in that tweet alone is enough.
This is new with him.
I know. He issued that tweet as the insurrection was going on. I've had enough. The Phillies have to do the right thing here.
They do. Now, I want to get to my Eagles point, but there was a clever sign at the Notre Dame Alabama game. I thought it was clever. An Alabama fan put up a sign that said, "Rudy was offside." And I thought that was pretty clever at the time.
Yeah, I don't think they had to bring a sign. I don't know why they
did. No, they didn't.
It's kind of a waste of energy to even bring a sign in that game.
I just like the point. Anyway.
Hold it one second. Now that you're on that subject, you know what really grills my bean or steams my bean?
What's that?
What?
That's the saying, steam your bean. Like, you get angry. Seeing Nick Saban all of a sudden be Mr. Personality on a commercial.
Yeah, lately.
Mr. Smiles now is going to sell me Aflac.
Yeah.
Take that up the street, you crumb. All right, go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
By the way, he is a terrific college football coach. He's not exactly Mr. Personality.
Creep.
Anyway, my point is this. There's nobody more in sports. When you talk about sports in general, let's talk about in football, National Football League. The front office and the coaches are the most important thing by far. Because everything else is equal. The money is equal. There's the cap. They draw from the same pool of football players every year, and the teams with the worst records draw the highest. And yet somehow the good teams stay on top. That proves to me that it's coaching and the front office that's important. And that guy was talking about baseball.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree. I mean, how about if we look at it like they just have a better eye for talent later in the draft?
Yeah, but how can it be that year after year, when they're taking from the same pool of players and they have the same amount of money, they divide the money up equally.
It's like why is one professor discover the cure for polio and the other one doesn't? They don't have access to the same information.
It's a difference between the NFL and other sports, because they try as hard as they can to try to make it equal. They can't, because the coaching and the front office are that important.
I can't deny that, but the front office is important because they can decipher the talent through the gaps. And yes, coaching obviously is very important. That's why you know the better coaches in the league are, because they're consistent every year with performance. The Pittsburgh Steelers, what they've done is amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Good day, people.
What's up, Jerome?
Good general manager sometimes really the deals they don't make. I agree with you guys that they're going to have a sit-down with Ben Simmons and the other players, but we know what the main focus right now is going to be. It's to, like, clue him in, and I don't think he's a stupid guy, but let him know that, you know, hey, there's other players also out there that were attractive, but we want you're here, and we want you to be attractive for us.
And that does that come after the part where they go, yeah, we did try to trade you, Ben?
You can run it. You know, hey, you can run it any way you want. Like I say, the guy is smart enough where he should be able to realize what's happening. Tick, 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 tick. But you know, for me, I like to see development of players. Now, you could say they were in the bubble and everything else, but when Miami got to the finals with the young players that they had, I remember somebody really, I mean, your mouth was dripping, Michael, with the way some of those guys were hitting threes and playing the way they were. And even just this previous game with the Sixers, with them not having two of their all-stars, they had a system, they adhered to it, and they made a game. Now, the Sixers were depleted. So what I'm saying is that the process, I hate using that word, but the time spent of seeing players develop. That's why I really don't want to see Maxey go. I want to see what he becomes. I want to see what he looks like at his prime in a Sixers uniform. He showed me enough where, you know, I can take and be satisfied to see what this team with this coach, with this general manager is going to be. Quit frowning up, Tyrone. You know what I'm talking about.
Listen, if that's what you want, I'll just tell you this. I think Mackey's a really good player. I think you could find another Maxey. I don't think you can make your team better than James Harden.
I've seen a guy who I know.
Yeah, he's
a nice player.
Jerome, we're comparing it against what they could have been with a star player. That's different.
Look, a star who was up 3-1 when the other guy, when Paul dropped off the map, he didn't do it. Look, you talk about playoff wins. You're talking about games. I get that, Mike. But what about series? I did not
expect. Was his team? Let me ask you this seriously. Was his team good enough to win without Chris Paul?
But he should have not, with his abilities. If it's a 7-game series, I expect a player of his ilk to be at least have three.
Jerome, you made it very clear. You think the Sixers are better off, and you're going to live with the process. Now, how many years do we have to live with this gosh damn process? All right. And the process is going to go on. You're going to like it. Maxey might turn him to be a really good player. And the Sixers are still going to be behind the Nets and the Bucks for the next couple of years. So, okay. Tu salud. That's what I say. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 447, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, as we roll towards 6 o'clock. And tonight, of course, Sixers back at it. And let's take a shot at this prediction here. Sixers' first game out of this whole morass here. Tyrone, how you feeling?
Well, I mean, they're getting Tobias, Shake Milton, and some guys back.
Yeah, they're a monster 10.5-point favorite.
Yeah, they're gonna cover it this time. But, yeah, they'll cover it. And hopefully Embiid doesn't have to play too many minutes because you got a back-to-back coming up this weekend after one more day off. So I think they take care of business. I think Tobias plays well, but that's not what I'm really looking for.
You looking for Ben?
I have to.
You looking for Ben? What are you expecting to see from Ben?
All right.
Coming off this.
He's a human being. This has been his home. Although, that's a conversation for another time, is I don't know if he has embraced Philadelphia the way Tobias and Embiid have embraced Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I think that played a role in the Boathouse Row situation. Now that the more I hear about what people thought about it, I think it was a peek into his mind of he sees himself as a person visiting Philadelphia and maybe not a person who is a Philadelphian, if that makes sense. But this is his home. I need him to show that he's willing to try. And that's, I don't need any success or this big thing. I need him to be willing to try, which means if they put do that set where Embiid's at the top, they do that partially because Ben's wide open on the baseline. If somebody covers him, he can do a hard cut. Mm-hmm. They got a bunch of stuff that they do there. If they leave him open, as happens, which will probably happen, just shoot the ball. I know you're going to miss sometimes, but maybe he has to show that he's willing to try to be different. And that can show up in a lot of ways, but it's so easy. Take an elbow jump shot. Take a three in the same game, because he hasn't done that yet. Take an elbow jump shot and 1 3-pointer in a game. And I already say, I can already talk myself into being back on board. But if he's just the same, the people aren't going to let him. Like, the people, it's blood in the water.
Will you see a three and an elbow jumper tonight?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
Yes?
I am going to say yes.
Woo!
I'm going to say yes.
Both of them. Wow. A three and an elbow jumper you're going to see tonight.
Yeah. Now, they could be up 15 at the time, but I don't even care about that. What I need him to do is just to show that because here's the thing. I know he can set up his teammates. I know he can run the floor. I know he's a rebounder. Like, we know all of that. Like last game tomorrow, he got six between Mike Scott and Green. He created six of those threes. I don't care. I already know he can do that. What else can he do? Because Harden can do that too. He can get guys open threes and also get you 40. I need him to show some of the other stuff. Just the willingness to try it and not be what J.J. Redick was talking about. Where J.J. says when he talked to Embiid, they would go back and forth. He would yell at Embiid. Sometimes Embiid would take it. Sometimes Embiid wouldn't. Just like any other human being. With Ben, it was different. Like he said, with the glad, like Ben is like, stop being a bystander in your own life.
Mm-hmm. I got you. All right. I'll be curious. Now, this is my main concern tonight. The Sixers have to stop Gabe Vincent. But other than that, I would also like to
see. He was killing him. And that's where Maxie, and then the other thing, I just want to make it clear. Yesterday, we had Maxie on at the top of the show. I'm attached to him emotionally.
Yes.
Seems like a nice kid. I want to make it clear. Nice guy.
Of course.
I wish him a lot of success. So I did not want to part ways with him. Please understand that that's an insane take, because to win a championship, you would trade anyone. But I will admit that I was personally attached after hearing him speak.
I got you. Yeah,
I just want to be clear.
I'm just hoping to get
like as a human. I was like, this guy is a guy I want around. I like this guy.
I like him too.
Tyrese Maxey.
He's good for morale.
I like him. Separate from his play, I actually like him as a human being. I like Maxey. Straight up. I'm just being honest. Like, I have to be honest.
How does that attach to Gabe Vincent, though? Because he struggled with Gabe.
Gabe was busting him.
Yeah.
I think his legs are a little weary. Gabe was busting. Like, he couldn't stop Gabe. Gabe was getting whatever shot he wanted.
That's why I'm so concerned about Gabe Vincent.
He was in there getting to the hole. He was making threes. Gabe was getting whatever he wanted. Like, who is this guy? GB? That don't even sound like real initials.
Come on, Gabe. Let up on us. Ryan in Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Ryan?
With Ben Simmons, you know, I wish he could do more pick and rolls with Embiid. You know what I mean? Shoot little jumpers after, you know, the picks and stuff.
We thought that Doc was going to emphasize that more.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just more of the same, you know what I mean? More or less the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time he drives down the, you know, into the paint, he just runs into the guy, takes the charge. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's just every single time.
He doesn't take the charge. He stops and then he turns his back and flips it back out. Like that's a rhyme or reason. No rhyme or reason play. And like he's killing the team when he does that.
He is, you know, with the turnovers and everything. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
You know,
Tyrone is seeing a 3-point attempt tonight and an elbow jumper attempt. You feeling that?
Yeah, I heard. I don't know. I feel a 3-pointer, maybe not a little jumper.
Let me ask you this. You got $200 of your hard earned money. That pays off $1,000. Would you put the $200 down?
Ooh, that's tough, Mike. That's tough.
Are you putting the 200 in to win 1,000, or are you keeping the 200 because you know it's not going to happen?
You know what? You know what? I actually would, because
that a boy.
Yeah, you know what? Because of what happened with the trade with Harden, I think Ben Simmons is going to come out firing
tonight. Nice. The motivation to fire Jimmy Harden with the Nets.
That's going to be.
However. Would rather buy $200 worth of lottery tickets than to place that bet.
It's just
on the Powerball right now.
It's for a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. It's fifth highest ever.
Going to the 5 o'clock hour with head of steam. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock. Yes. Always an interesting hour, 5 o'clock. Mike Missinelli Show. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. You know, they have their big winter sale. They've extended it through this month, the month of January. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. It's interesting. I got a really interesting little knock on my door today.
What do you mean?
Well, nobody ever knocks on my door, right? So I hear a knock at the door. Online looking at stuff. It's about 11:30. Who could this be? Look, it's my neighbor.
Oh, what do you say?
It was a lady.
Oh, what'd she say?
My lady, the neighbor, the lady. Now she is a very rabid Trumpian. They had 4 Trump signs
right
on their. So she was asking me whether I had received my mail. Have I been getting my mail and my packages?
Okay.
And I said, yes. In fact, I had a stack of mail I haven't opened yet. I said, yes, I've been getting it. Here it is. I haven't even opened it yet. I get someone. So she was suggesting to me that the post office, well, we didn't get deeply into the conversation because she was just asking. The post office and the postman are not delivering her mail. And I think she was insinuating because she has the Trump signs on her lawn.
What?
Now, it could be that maybe she wasn't getting any mail, like as much mail. I don't know.
Right. Maybe she went paperless.
But then I started to think, I had a very civil conversation with him. And I closed the door and I came back. I go, wait a minute. Is she possibly suggesting that I was taking her mail? Like,
I would.
She doesn't know anything.
Cagey,
she doesn't
Mike.
Know anything about me, really. She has no idea that I'm an anti-Trumpian.
I mean, does she know who you are?
She does, but she's not the type of person that would listen to the show or watch the show or anything like that.
You don't know.
Or follow me on Twitter.
2020 has brought in quite the audience.
I don't think so. But you know, who knows?
Well, no, I mean,
no, I wouldn't do that.
No,
I don't have the time to wander over to your place and raid your mailbox.
And so people need to just close the computers
Plus, they're always home. They're always there. You know,
right?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Is it possible that a mail carrier would be withholding mail from her?
It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible.
It's not possible. That's see, that right there is part of our problem right now, when mm-hmm. we believe rubbish.
Yeah.
Of all kinds. And that's why I'm not standing for rubbish. Sometimes when I get an email, many times I just respond to the person like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get into a back and forth with a crazy person.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing.
I don't want to get back and forth with a crazy.
If she knocks again, just be like, come and knock on my door.
She's a nice enough lady. She has a garden, and she always asks me if I want some of her lettuce. I mean, I don't have beef with her.
Yeah. No,
I don't, you know.
I think people, a lot of people have been home for a very long time now. And again, they're just consuming all this content, which is not healthy on either whatever part of the spectrum. Like, you need to just take a mental break and read a book about something.
Yeah. All right, so like to amuse myself, I've been going over a lot of hockey lists today. I'm in a kind of hockey mood. I get the Flyers hat on. They won impressively last night. We were talking about Crosby. You know, people hate Crosby, so they don't want to put him in the top 10. So I've been looking at lists of where people rank them. It's interesting that all these old school hockey evaluators include goalies in their list of all-time players.
I agree with that.
Which is hard to measure a goalie, you know. I feel the same way about the goalies.
But the great ones are easy to measure.
Yeah, all right. So let me ask you, because I'm the first goalie that comes to this list of 50, actually. Mm-hmm. There's actually three goalies in the top 15 that were ranked. The first one is 11th on the all-time list. So who do you think they ranked as the best goalie, I guess?
Did they go Brodeur?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Martin Brodeur.
Yeah.
More wins than any goalie in NHL history. And has the shutout record now, of more than 100 and whatever.
And this is why I think you can equate it. Mm-hmm. I think that during that run, had you traded Lindros for Brodeur, Flyers win cups. I truly believe. I truly believe that. Have you kept the teams exactly the same? Don't trade anything. Still have your muckers and grinders and all that Flyers stuff that they were doing wrong. With Brodeur, instead of Hextall or Garth Snow, and people, I think they would have won multiple cups. I truly believe it.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, who's second?
They have Wah.
Wah is 12th. He's like right behind Brodeur.
Yeah, and I think the same thing with him. When he was killing it with Colorado, that was the era I was really watching him. He gave them a big advantage night to night to me.
Yeah, he seemed to have an aura of invincibility during the playoffs.
Really?
The old-timer. Terry Salchuk.
Yeah, I obviously.
Four Vezina trophies, four Stanley Cups, 103 shutouts in 971 NHL.
That's pretty damn good.
And then you don't see a goalie next until like way down.
They have, I wonder if, and then when I'm growing up, they were always talking about how great Grant Fuhr was.
I'm sorry, this only ranks 25. Interestingly enough, they only have Alex Ovechkin wearing 21 and Jágr 22.
Okay. And where'd they put Crosby?
They put Crosby, I think, 10. Oh, no, he's 14 on this list. I saw another list with him, 10.
Okay.
What about Lundqvist?
No, he's not in the top 25. He might be in top 50. I haven't looked at that bigger a list. All right, let's go to the phones in the 5 o'clock hour. Tyree in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyree.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Tyree?
Nothing much. I just wanted to talk about Ben Simmons. Like, I totally agree with you. Like, I think there's no way he's going to get any better. Last year, watching them play the Heat, like there were times where, you know, he'd be a couple of feet behind the free throw line, and his defender would literally turn around, face baseline, and go double Embiid. I'm like, if that's not going to motivate you to get any better, nothing will.
It'll be interesting to see how he reacts to this circumstance where he was almost traded.
I don't know. I mean, I would say, like, you know, people disrespecting you enough to just flat out turn around and run away from you. That should have been, you know, motivation.
No, I agree. That. And I agree with you. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But it will be interesting to see if this could be some kind of impetus for him. I don't know.
And also, this year's team, like, how it's constructed, like, definitely no better than three. Like, they pretty much remind me of the 2017-2018 team. Like, you know, the team that got beat by Boston, like they look exactly like that team.
Yeah, no, I can see, but Embiid is a different level, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Embiid's better. I would say Seth Curry, probably better ball handler than J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, the number two seed that year is definitely, you know, not as good as either the Bucks or the
Bucks. I agree with that. They should be a little better defensively. I guess, like, because you're talking about those guys back then that they really killed you defensively. JJ killed you, Bellinelli killed you, you know. All right, man. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Take
all right, let's go to Vicente. Vicente's back. Back to back days? Vicente, what's up,
man? Hola, Mike.
Hola, what's going on with you?
Didn't I tell you yesterday that the Flyers were, I was flying up and they were going to beat the Penguinos?
Yes.
And they did.
Yes, they did. They wore him down and won the game rather easily.
What a fantastic performance of Joel Farabee. You know, scoring one goal and assisting the other three goals. It was amazing.
Yes, that's Tyrone's man now.
You know, he put the el disco sobre el hielo, la pista de hielo. You know, the ice rink.
Yeah.
He just dropped the disc.
He did drop the disc. Like, what is puck in the disco is puck in Spanish, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. Disco. Yeah.
Remember when Robert De Niro and the movie Midnight Run, he was saying, the disc, Serrano has the disc.
That's right, Serrano has his discs. Let me ask you a question. The net is either neta or neto, because it's a masculine feminine. What would the net be? Would the net be used in the masculine version of this language? Neto? Well, or is it net? Neta.
No, it doesn't have a gender. Because
it doesn't.
It's a net, you know. It's not even female or male.
Okay, all right.
But I wanted to tell you, you know, that I'm on Flyer App, and this guy is only, talking about Joel Farabee. It's only 20 years old.
And you know what? He gained 15 pounds, and he's only up to 165. So maybe a little more beef on the kid.
And he changed the 49 to 86. So it's one lower than 87, that Crosby, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
The only way that the Penguins can score is if Carter Hart is not attending the goalie, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
how... You're off. All right, well, that's good, Vicente. Well, we'll hear a lot of your Flyer commentary this year. Vicente, check it in. 2 days in a row. Now, speaking of numbers, I saw where Landry Shamet's going to make some money.
Yeah. Smart by him.
He's got to give up the hard number. He's given up two numbers. He probably cashed in both times, right?
Yeah. Now, although with Harden, he's going to pay him in ones.
not dirty.
There you go.
Dirty ones?
Yeah.
No, oh, man.
That's not right.
Come on. It's COVID. You give me these triple dollars? Come on, man. You can come with me. So on me.
Oh, that's not right, man.
I bet you he's already there. Right now, he might be in there watching the show.
You're going to get paid in ones. Greg, I'm frustrated. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Happy New Year, guys. On the surface, I would not have done the Ben Simmons deal, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Harden's a little bit too much of a defensive liability for me. I'm not thrilled with Ben Simmons. You know, you're probably gaining 19 points a game with Harden, but coming...
You're gaining
19 points a game by getting Harden.
Why would you only gain 19 points?
My guess is he's going to be averaging somewhere around 34, and Simmons will
You're subtracting it from Ben. Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, I should have clarified.
You don't think 19 points is significant in a game?
I think it's huge. I just think between the potential chemistry problems, I think what it comes down to, Mike, it's my guess. It's just a guess. Knowing a couple of assistant coaches who have served under Morey, that Morey would have done the deal. Something prevented him from doing it.
Well, he got outbid is what prevented him.
That's true. That's one thing. But secondly,
He wanted to do the deal. I mean, it's clear. I think he wanted to do the deal. The Nets outbid him.
Can Rivers handle Harden would have been my question.
Can who handle him?
Can Doc Rivers handle Harden would have been my question. If he can, you make that...
I got to ask you this question. Why would you? First of all, the defensive liability thing is like way down on the list, right? Considering what the guy can do for. Well, it totally is. Come on, man. He's not that much of a let me continue. All right. What makes you so afraid of Harden?
He's like a pylon on defense.
You haven't watched him enough, and even if he's not the greatest defender, what he gives you on the opposite side of it dwarfs the fact that he's not the great defensive player that Ben Simmons is, in my opinion.
Yeah, he also is super strong. He stays in front of his man plenty. He also is so good that he knows how to meet out that energy over the course because he doesn't load manage.
There is this perception that's faulty that he's worth nothing except he dribbles the ball for 40 seconds and then he shoots a three-pointer. Like, are you kidding me? Have you not watched this guy play?
They haven't.
Come on, man. Let's go Hank and Ardmore. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
How you doing, Mike?
The cousin's out there heckling me because he's anti-Harden.
You still with me, Mike?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is for Tyrone, whatever you're smoking, you need to stop mentioning Joel Embiid in the same breath as Wilt Chamberlain. Come on, Tyrone. You never saw Wilt play. Wilt was a monster. They changed the rules of the game for Wilt. Come on, Tyrone. Wake up
to reality,
my brother. And when the only team Wilt lost to all them years was the Celtics, who had 10 Hall of Famers on the team. Wilt was a monster.
Hank, you sound like an older guy. I get it. I love your affection because you grew up with Wilt, and it was larger than life. He was a source of pride for Philadelphia. I get it. But if he was such a monster, how did he lose all those titles? He was a selfish player.
Okay, the Celtics were the only team to beat him, Mike.
But he was so great, he would have overcame those Celtic teams.
Well, one Hall of Famer can't beat 10 Hall of Famers, Mike.
But the Sixers were a good team. They weren't a bad team. When he sacrificed his own game is when they won the championship in 66-67.
Now, Mike, did they change the rules of the game?
Who cares that they changed the rules? They changed the rules because he was bigger and stronger than everybody else. They changed the rules for Al Cinder, too, in the NCAA before he became Jabbar. Because you're physically superior, they even it up. They lengthened golf courses for Tiger when Tiger came on the scene.
Right. Just so I clarify, I didn't say Joel Embiid was better than Wilt Chamberlain.
He can do more things.
And that's a statement of fact. Look at what he makes from the foul line. He just went 13 for 13 the last game. How many times was Wilt doing that? He does more things is what I said, and that's a statement of fact. And just because he's a legend doesn't mean that Embiid doesn't do more things, which is all I said.
I have a lot of empathy for the old school guys because Wilt was such a source of pride for them that. But I also know that there was a lot of frustration with Wilt Chamberlain in this town.
Yes, that's gotten forgotten because that's what happens.
Yeah,
same thing
and
with AI.
People don't remember that. You know, like he wasn't all ice cream and roses.
Just like it's Uncle AI now. It wasn't Uncle AI when he was playing.
No.
It's Uncle. Oh, look at Allen. We love Allen. Wasn't all like that then.
He wasn't a day at the beach, a freshly opened box with a Whitman sampler. But he was here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now it's
up. 610-632-0975. Scott on the cell on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, hello, man.
What's up, Scott? What are you doing, man? How you doing?
Okay, good. So, but a little story before I get to my main point. Nowadays, this DraftKings car has been showing up regularly at Wegmans near the employee entrance, and on the door, the clarification notes are there. Must be 21. So he was like, well, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And the customer once said to me, feels like it's talking to you, huh? Yep, just like the ads here all the time. I think that's kind of funny.
All right, I got you.
Okay, anyways. I will talk Flyers at some point after I've seen more than just one game, but I thought I had to give my 2 cents on this trade.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
There are a number of things I could talk about with Harden, like how he's getting older, or how much he was given up, or how he was only putting up like 19 points a game before the trade. And but then you look at everything he said after the last game that he played with Houston and how he talked about how he feels they're not good enough. And I wonder if that's an indication that the drama that ensued to start this part things off got to his head before that.
That prevented him from shooting?
I mean, I don't know if, like, I'm
so
sure
the fear of being traded shackled his game. So, like, how about the year before that and the year before that and the year before that? What shackled his game then?
I don't know, but I also know that John Wall talked about how he struggled to build connection with Harden before he was traded. And in Brooklyn, now you've got talks of Kyrie potentially not playing for a while.
Yeah, listen, Harden clearly wanted out of there. So he wasn't going to be the Harden that we saw lead to an NBA final. He wanted out.
Yeah, I mean,
I wonder. John Wall to talk about anybody. John Wall can't buff his sneaker.
Okay.
Come on, man.
too.
John Wall. Perennial loser. That's got a Will in Phoenix. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Will?
Dude, you're driving me insane. I am so happy we didn't get the fat man that's disgruntled, that makes planes wait for him, that makes practices late. That guy is a cancer. We don't need him on our team. And how could you want to trade Matisse? Tyrese Maxey. When this guy, he's young. We need to develop him and see what he's going to do. Harden's winning nothing with the Nets. I guarantee you that.
All right. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't agree with you. I think this perception of Harden being a cancer is ridiculous. And if you wouldn't trade Tyrese Maxey, who's a nice player, nice kid, who's never going to be James Harden in this league. So I don't get it. You're talking about a superstar player who makes you better and more worthy of an Eastern Conference championship than you are now. I don't know. How do you not want that?
I don't want James Harden.
Okay, well, then you don't want the Sixers to win the East for the next couple of years. Yeah, you don't want the Sixers to win the East.
What happens to the Brooklyn Nets?
All right. So you're telling me right now, I want you to get you on the record from Will from Phoenix. I want to get you on the record. You're telling me that the Sixers have a better chance to win the East than the Nets or the Bucks right now.
Better than the Nets. I don't know about the Bucks, yeah. But better than the Nets. They have no bench now.
Okay.
They traded all their right. best bench
hey.
Players.
All right. Gotcha. Who did the Miami Heat have off the bench when they had three stars that were carrying them?
We're not talking about Miami.
Why wasn't it necessary for the Heat? It wasn't necessary for the Heat. They had three stars. They had three stars. They didn't have a bench.
They had those Tyler Hero coming off the bench.
No, I'm talking about the LeBron Heat. The LeBron Heat.
The LeBron.
Yeah, when they had three stars. You're telling me three stars with no bench doesn't work.
LeBron is a builder.
All right. So you want to shape the argument to your narrative. The bench is important. It's not as important when you have three stars that carry you. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for the final Twitter poll. Anthony was just here for 5 minutes. Anthony's doing this show next. Anyway, the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Winners here, Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, is your stop for snowblowers, chainsaws, and generators. I can't get that image out of my head now. All season long. Stop by their Doylestown location today. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,100 votes on this one today. Well, almost being traded. Change the way Ben Simmons plays for the better. 21% say yes. More shooting ahead. 79% say no. He is who he is.
All righty. Thank you, Matt. So Anthony comes in. He's a Harden hater. So he comes in. He goes, so he's got a picture. I guess it was on Twitter. One side, left side, right side. The left side is Harden in his current shape. The right side is the dude that was in the jail cell with Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours, bragging on his limousine. Remember that dude? He's got the beard.
Hey, I saw a different one with the wrestler Mark Henry as Harden.
Listen, I told him. All Harden has to do is go to that vitamin IV situation that Anthony does.
And he's good.
Get the energy, go back going, drop the quick 20 with the nutrients, and he's back.
That weight's going to fall off. Plus, The one thing is they have better food, higher quality food at the Gentleman's Club up here than down in Houston. A lot of fat, a lot of fried foods. You can get baked things at these Gentleman's Club.
I would advise him to cut out the chicken wings with the chocolate sauce. But
That's gone. That's seriously gone. They actually have real chefs at the Gentleman's Club up north. I'm serious. They got chefs in there. So that stuff, he can get all kinds of cuisine.
Oh, yeah. There's steakhouses, too.
Yeah. So he's going to get fine things. Yeah, by the time they play the Sixers, he's going to be 10 pounds lighter.
I'm setting myself up for a big fall here. If he does stay fat and he does destroy that team, there's going to be a lot of I told you so's here.
Well, Kyrie factor's still there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Bruce in Center City. Bruce, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bruce.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Bruce?
Yeah, since you're the grand poobah and all, I'd like to have a conversation with you. You like to make your show political, right?
No, I don't like to make it political.
No, but you have to have this conversation now that you've already.
Well, you mischaracterize myself. Occasionally.
Listen,
it's my show, all right? So I'll put you on hold and you're not going to browbeat me here. What I do is make occasional political statements that are completely obvious and, in my mind, necessary and righteous. All right, now, are you back?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a simple question for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Ayatollah.
No, let's not talk about the Ayatollah, because we're not talking about political things. I make a political statement, and if you want to agree with it or not, I made a statement on Curt Schilling today. All right? I didn't analyze world politics. I made a statement on Curt Schilling. Now, if you're going to back a guy who tweets out during the middle of sedition... and compare it to a Black Lives Matter protest, which is trying to correct decades of racial discrimination, and you're still going to justify the sedition? I don't need to talk to you about anything. Anthony in New York, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Hi, I was listening to the other discussion part of the show, and you were saying that you were kind of disappointed or something that we didn't get James Harden, and I'm actually ecstatic about that. I look at that, and I'm just like, yes, because that would completely destroy our team. He would be a ball hog, would not get the ball to Embiid, who is very dominant, and I would just like to say that I'm so happy about that.
Okay, now I'll ask you the same question I asked everybody else. Is this team as good as the Nets or the Bucks, the Sixers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You think this team will topple the Nets and Bucks right now? You think they're better than them?
Absolutely. With our defense, Ben Simmons probably defensive player of the year, along with Embiid, and then I think that Curry is a great defender, and Danny Green can defend as well and shoot, as he hit like 9 three-pointers the other night. I think. That we are.
I mean, how long have you been watching basketball yet? If I may ask.
Like probably 12 years now.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I think the defensive part of it is true, what you're saying. The defense is not going to what takes the Sixers past those two teams that can score.
Oh, you think that the Sixers defense isn't that good?
No, I think it's fine. It's just you're not going to be able to score enough to beat those other two teams, even though you're decent defensively.
Well, once we get Curry back on the floor, I think we'll just spacing everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid will get double teamed in the paint. He'll kick it out to Curry or Danny Green, and we'll just splash shots around.
Okay, well, they can splash, and we'll see how that works out. Let's go, Nick in Elkins Park. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing well. First thing I want to say is that I think you are a great patriot for the things that you tweet.
Here's the thing. I want to make this clear. I'm not trying to be a patriot or anything. I'm trying to look at the obvious here, and I'm trying to look at how we can become more together. And to support sedition and to ignore what happened the other day at the Capitol is not going to do it. And that's all I'm trying to make the point with this Schilling thing. He should not be rewarded for what he did the other day by keeping his plaque on the wall.
Agreed. I agree.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to be a patriot. I'm not going to go around with a fife and drum. All right? I just make what I think are obvious statements.
I think in this day and age, it's necessary. I mean, you got a lot of guys out there that are, I don't know what
you know, I don't know what they're smoking. I don't know what they're reading. But, you know, what
I can tell you, I'm getting emails already. Like there can't be anything more obvious than the point I tried to make about shilling, and I'm still getting people buck up against it. And I go, all right, well, whatever.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the Harden trade a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. A couple weeks ago, I think I would have done the trade in a heartbeat. But, you know, and this could just be me overthinking it, but honestly, watching the Sixers play this year, and watching how they do have some shooters. I'm not saying, you know, Danny Green's not going to go out there and make 9 threes every night. He's you know, he's a little inconsistent, but he'll get you 20 to 25 every now and then. But it does have a little bit of a different feel. Like with Curry and Green, like, I don't know if I would have traded Maxey and Simmons. It kind of works. And before the season started,
it does work. It works. Does it work to the extent where you can win an Eastern Conference? That's all, man.
I do think, and as far as Harden being toxic, I think you're overlooking it a little bit. Like, I think the guy, obviously, he's a special talent. You know, I've been watching him since he was at Arizona State. He beat Temple in the tournament the 1 year. He's very, very good. He's been good for a long time since college. But the guy's a little off. And, I mean, I kind of agree with the guy a few callers ago. I don't think they're winning anything up there. That's a lot of...
Okay, we shall see. You could be right. I'm trying to improve the Sixers' chances to win. And it doesn't do me any good to say, let's continue the growth. You know, the growth isn't going to win you the East this year. It's just not. You got a dark hole with this guy who refuses to shoot. And it's going to curtail this team when push comes to shove in a playoff situation.
But we honestly have we had this much talent around him before?
I think you're overrating the talent a little bit when it comes to Curry's nice player. Danny Green is going to be hit or miss every night.
And Maxey's nice though too.
Maxey's a nice player. He's not, I don't think, ready to take over in a playoff situation. He's a nice piece. I think he's going to be a good player, and he helps them now. But you can't overvalue him right now.
Okay, this is my last point on it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was thinking about it, is it better? Obviously, getting Harden probably would have raised our chances of getting to the finals. But as a fan, like, when I look at it, I would get more satisfaction.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
To the finals.
No, you. Well, dude, that's, well, who cares about that? You get more satisfaction. You would be delighted to see Harden make shots here. Delighted. That would take over like right away. Now, again, I'm rounding it off that he's still the same player, which I think he is. I just think his energy level down there was like, who cares? Go through the motions here and drop 25 on you. But if I'm really motivated to play, I'm still going to get you 35.
Yeah, I agree with that part, for sure.
Let's go to Tom in South Jersey. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Love
good.
The show.
Thank you, buddy.
Me being a golfer like you, I just have a question. Who was your favorite foursome you ever played with?
I really didn't like, as far as playing with celebrities.
Yeah,
I really haven't done much of that.
Oh, okay, mine real quick was just I was like 16, so it was about 33 years ago,
uh-huh.
And I played with Tom Poston, Harvey Korman, and Tim Conway. It was a year after when Tim Conway came out with Dwarf's Golf.
Well, how did you play with those guys?
I worked on a local South Jersey golf course, and they came in, I guess, for a skit at a casino.
If you don't know, these are old-time sitcom dudes.
Yeah, so they were great. And now my one question for you is, I got a basketball question, and maybe Tyrone can help you. Uh-huh. I came across this. There are 8 players who won NCAA championship, an NBA championship, an Olympic title, and I got 3 of them. I was wondering if you knew any of them.
Well, I we'd have to think about that, and we're kind of up against it here. Yeah, the random trivia takes too long to think about.
Yeah, you're talking about,
yeah,
because I'm already still having to deal with the state championship, NCAA championship, yeah. And then like with Milt Wagner, for example.
Yeah.
Now I got to deal, I guess Anthony Davis now is in that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he won one when he was in Illinois. And yeah. I actually don't like trivia questions.
Yeah,
like
I'm not a fan either, even though I do it on General Knowledge Wednesday. I can't. Sports trivia questions, I'm not that great at, to be honest with you.
Well, it's funny that people just call in to just ask you.
Yeah. All right.
And the other thing is, please stop lying to the screener.
Yeah.
So we might have to start having a short hook with some of you liars.
What, the last guy lied?
Yes. Like, we can stop. I'm serious. You keep lying to the screeners, and you're not going to stay on the air. Just tell the screener what you want to talk about.
Well, tell us next time if somebody calls, if you want to talk about the Ayatollah, make that clear. All right,
yeah, that
you, we'll have an Ayatollah conversation. Quickly, Jake and Manny Young. You got about 30 seconds, Jake. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Good, good. Quick question and comment about Ben. So initially, I thought I was on the fence about the trade before the season. Said I wanted like 15 games to evaluate him. And then eventually I wanted Harden when the talks were heating up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with Morey not making the deal only because it's him. I feel like if this happened last year with Brand or Colangelo, I'd have no faith in the organization at all whatsoever.
Well, but here's the thing that people are afraid of Harden. This guy who's so slick as a GM wanted to make the deal. Like, he saw Harden as the piece that was going to improve him, right? Forget about me. Like, that was the guy who was going to make the deal to bring Harden here. So he...
That's why I'm okay with it.
Yeah, well, and it didn't work out. But he's the... Like, if he would have had the same idea, well, he's a cancer, he wouldn't have pursued it at all, right? He actually wanted to make the deal because he thought it was going to help the team.
Absolutely trust him. A quick question real quick. So... Mm-hmm. I don't want to go with the false hope of, oh, Ben got pissed off, now he's going to change. But I was checking the odds for tonight. Simmons over under 14.5 points. I think he goes over.
I think he goes over with layups. I don't think he makes a shot.
All right, I already put 100 on it anyway.
Yeah, I like the bet. I think he'll get 16 like he usually does tonight. But he's not making no three-pointer. He's not making no elbow jumper. As part of that 16.
Right from the start. Whole new guy tonight.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got sound off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
87.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
It's time for Sound Off, 610-771-9705. You guys have to say hit us up. Leave us a message, and we'll put them all together, and you may make the cut with your brilliance on Sound Off. Let's see what we have.
That sounds right up your alley, Mike Missinelli. Trade for James Harden, the guy who hasn't won and can't get along with anybody. The guy is a cancer, Mike. Get real. How do I feel about my squad right now? I love my squad without that pig on it.
Wait a minute. Did Mike Missinelli try to trade for James Harden? Or was it the general manager of the team who tried to trade? Sometimes I get confused. What? The general manager made the judgment to trade for him, right? Was it me?
Yes. No, it wasn't
I don't
you.
Know.
Oh,
all right. Okay. Everybody thinks it's you.
All right. Move on.
The division just got a lot harder for the 76ers. James Harden is going to be a Brooklyn Net, and that certainly makes the division more difficult.
Yeah, I would think it does. Now there are people who look at the other side and go, nah, that's going to be a meltdown with those three. Plus, Harden's fat, and he's still going to go to strip clubs, and he's at a stage of his life where he's not motivated anymore. We'll see. On paper, though, I think the Vegas people go, well, the Sixers are third right now.
You know, Mike, though, it comes out that the main reason Doug Peterson may have been let go is because he prefers Jalen Hurts to Carson Wentz, which who wouldn't? And, you know, while we're on the topic of Doug Peterson, you're on the air since he's been let go saying that he wasn't a good coach. Okay, you're wrong.
Okay, then I'm wrong. I looked at him last year, and I thought he wasn't a very good coach. And I'll stand by that, and I think they made the right move.
He also just slid in there that everyone knows Hurts is better than Wentz. That's not unanimous.
Yeah. I heard that.
Listen, man, if you're clairvoyant enough to judge four games where he was 1-3 and sucked in most second halves, that he was good? All right.
Hey, Mikey Miss, sitting here watching the Flyers game. Could somebody tell the DJ down there, House of Pain, jump around, pack it up, pack it in, let me begin? You don't deserve to win a cup if you're still playing that in your barn.
Jump up, and get down.
That's like a hockey lament. Come on. Hockey's not going to be playing alt all of a sudden.
No.
they got sort of reliable hockey beats.
And that beat, if you're a player, it's familiar. It produces you up.
Exactly.
It was a terrible song when it was new. It's not the DJ's fault now.
Right, but it's hockey arena-esque, if you know what I mean.
Maybe the hard deal was a little bit ridiculous and they gave up too much to get him. So I think it's funny the way everybody's reacting with this Maxey kid. I get it. He's had a nice little stretch. People are talking about him being sealed. Everybody pumped the brakes on Maxey. All right? MCW was rookie of the year, okay? He's got to prove that over time, over season.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I like Maxey. I like what he's done so far. He plays with a nice little bounce. But I think we have a tendency to go overboard if he wasn't untouchable. And again, I'll reiterate, the general manager, who is now entrusted with building the team, made the value judgment that the team would be better off if he tried to acquire Harden. And it wasn't me. I'm just reacting to it.
Tyrone, did you have to think about whether Kawhi is better than Harden? One of the best two-way players in NBA history, two championships, finals MVP? Did you just say Steph not better than Harden? Come on, bro. Top five. Harden is not top five. Top five. LeBron, number one. KD, number two. Kawhi, number three. Steph, number four. How soon do we forget? Number five is still Giannis. Number six, AD. Then you got Harden. Come on, man. Y'all need to get it together.
Well,
I never heard somebody so passionately wrong.
That was directly to you, Tyrone.
That's all right.
All right. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like
water.
Because I don't like
then break. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets up.
See you later.
All right, that was Sound Off. And stay tuned to Cuz's Corner's up next. We'll lead you into Sixers Heat game tonight on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned to warm up and then Sixers pregame live and then the game and postgame and then Sixers Outsider. Have a great night. We'll see if Ben will shoot it tonight. Be safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.